Blog Talk Radio.
It is Barack Obama who corrupts the Justice Department. It is Hillary Clinton who routinely breaks the law and gets away with it. And now we have Joe Biden who's learned. He's learned from Obama that doesn't matter what you do, if you're a liberal Democrat, you will not be prosecuted. He learned from Hillary that a person in high public office can get millions and millions of dollars. And they learned from watching Donald Trump that a true outsider willing to take on the entire system could destroy their entire machine. So what you're seeing across the country is a desperate last-ditch effort by a corrupt machine to destroy their most dangerous opponent.
What you're witnessing is a continuation of the single greatest witch hunt of all time. These are ridiculous indictments, and all they're doing is hoping for massive election interference. Our enemies want to stop me because I am the only one who's going to be able to stop them. They want to silence me because I will never let them silence you. They want to take away my freedom because I will never let them take away your freedom.
We have one chance to save it, and that chance is called 2024.
Of curating the 2016 Russia collusion hoax by asking foreign intelligence agencies to illegally spy on the Trump campaign?
Lucas Tomlinson in Washington with more. Lucas.
Good early morning, Carly and Todd. This report from Substack citing multiple unnamed sources claims the U.S. intelligence community asked foreign spy agencies to help spy on more than two dozen associates of Donald Trump in the run-up to the 2016 election. It reads in part, quote, President Barack Obama's CIA director, John Brennan, had identified 26 Trump associates for the Five Eyes to target. A source confirmed that the IC had identified them as people to bump or make contact with or manipulate. They were targets of our own IC and law enforcement, targets for collection and misinformation. Now, the Five Eyes nations are the U.S., U.K., Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. Here's one of the reporters, Michael Schellenberger, who spoke to Jesse Waters last night.
If this binder contains what we have been told that it contains, which may include raw intelligence, information showing that the U.S. government, the CIA and the intelligence community of the U.S. government, initiated the Russia collusion hoax, that it did not occur in the way that the official story, including the Durham investigation, had portrayed it, then that's extremely serious information.
The report was released at the same time House conservatives are preparing a bill that would reauthorize Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act that allows the government to collect communications from foreigners abroad. And today the House Rules Committee is set to meet over that FISA reform bill, guys.
Lucas Tomlinson, quite a bombshell. Thank you, sir.
All right, we got Bianchi. I'm putting you on, Bianchi. You're on, buddy.
You're on. Yeah, I told everybody, so
all right,
they should be waiting in the wings.
Yeah, I put it in the Facebook. I had to remember how to get to Facebook. Gosh, that's been a while. Lori Ann's here. Hi, Lori Ann. Well, you know, this FISA crap, these 26 that were spied on, don't they have a reason to sue? Like Roger Stone, I'm sure he was one.
Well, yeah. Like I said, if the judge said that President Trump did not have immunity on January 6th, even though he was a president, well, that means that Joe Biden don't have immunity. And the other ones during the time that they served, that they didn't have no immunity neither.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? Skype, you're on. And 503, I think that's Lori Ann, you're on, I think.
Am here. Hello, hello.
Hello.
Happy after Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Did you and Cinnamon do anything fun yesterday?
No. We've been married too long. Come on. There, Sarge.
Yeah, that was kind of funny, man, but so true. but anyway, yeah, man, this thing here, I remember this all got me to thinking, remember back when George Papadopoulos got hooked up with that Greek professor who was a contract agent for the CIA, and
yep.
he chinned him up in a bar and got
That's
him
right.
talking about his role with the campaign, and then they were
yep.
able to pin this charge on him and all that other stuff? That's when I first became aware of the Five Eyes involvement. I was wondering why no one had followed up on it after that. And I said, well, there's not much that came out of this in the wake of the revelations of how George Papadopoulos got caught up in the Russia collusion scandal. And by George, now it's starting to break. And it really all makes sense.
Yes, it does. And you know what they're thinking is that that binder they can't find. They think Donald Trump has it. That's why Mar-a-Lago was raided, is to get that damn binder, because that's got all the proof. That's got all the players in it, and they want that
exactly.
back.
Exactly, exactly. It was a pretext to get that. And I kept saying to myself, well, look, they got the Presidential Records Act. All they got to do is keep they short-circuited the negotiations to conduct the raid. All they had to do was to continue the Presidential Records Act negotiations, let a magistrate decide whether or not the documents in Donald Trump's possession should be returned to the National Archives, and if they weren't, then they could the judge would issue a contempt citation against Donald Trump for not returning them. And it's still civil. It's not criminal no matter what. But they made it criminal in order to make sure they would get these documents. It was just a pretext for their absolute corruption. I am absolutely convinced of it. I think anybody else who looks at it is probably going to feel the same way.
That's right. Hello, Bring It Boy. And it's Danny. Hello, Danny. Okay. Well, thank you. That's close enough. Boyd, how you doing? Yeah, that's what they're saying is they think Trump's got that binder, and they want that sucker back because he could hold that right over their head. Let me get Gene. Ah, there's Gene. And 907, that might be Boyd.
Hey,
hello,
what's happening, gentlemen?
Hey.
I'm all screwed up on my day.
Howdy-do.
What day is today? God damn.
I don't know.
It's Thursday.
Bianchi got me all scared up and scared the hell out of me, so I said we better go.
It's Discount Candy Day. If you go to the store, you can get your 50% off all your heart-shaped candies.
Oh.
Yeah. That's right. It's the only thing Valentine's Day is for.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's a Hallmark holiday.
Yeah, that's right.
Sarge, I think you're... You know, you and I have been thinking along the same lines on this Mar-a-Lago raid. Trump's got evidence that'll put a lot of them in jail, and they want that evidence back.
I really believe that's true. I do. I think they're, you know, why else would they go through Melania's underwear drawers and her closets? You know, they were looking for something more than what was in that room, locked up room. So it's got to be that binder.
So what brought on this conversation about the Mar-a-Lago invasion?
Haven't you been listening to the...
No,
music?
Because I just got my messages because I just finally sat down for the day.
Well.
They raided Mar-a-Lago, a year ago?
Yeah.
Right,
somewhere.
But I'm just saying what brought on the conversation.
Well, hang on. It's only a minute and 43 seconds.
...of curating the 2016 Russia collusion hoax by asking foreign intelligence agencies to illegally spy on the Trump campaign.
Lucas Tomlinson in Washington with more. Lucas.
Good early morning, Carly and Todd. This report from Substack citing multiple unnamed sources claims the U.S. intelligence community asked foreign spy agencies to help spy on more than two dozen associates of Donald Trump in the run-up to the 2016 election. It reads in part, quote, President Barack Obama's CIA director, John Brennan, had identified 26 Trump associates for the Five Eyes to target. A source confirmed that the IC had identified them as people to bump or make contact with or manipulate. They were targets of our own IC and law enforcement, targets for collection and misinformation. Now, the Five Eyes nations are the U.S., U.K., Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. Here's one of the reporters, Michael Schellenberger, who spoke to Jesse Waters last night.
If this binder contains what we have been told that it contains, which may include raw intelligence, information showing that the U.S. government, the CIA and the intelligence community of the U.S. government, initiated the Russia collusion hoax, that it did not occur in the way that the official story, including the German investigation, had portrayed it, then that's extremely serious information.
The report was released at the same time House conservatives are preparing a bill that would reauthorize Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act that allows the government to collect communications from foreigners abroad. And today, the House Rules Committee is set to meet over that FISA reform bill, guys.
Lucas Tomlinson, quite a bit.
All right. Yeah, I really believe that Donald Trump has some evidence that they want back.
Why do you think they keep throwing lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit at him?
They're trying to stall him. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get something fixed so people don't vote for him. This whole thing about Russia being a boogeyman is just that, a whole bunch of crap.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, and even like it's all over the news today about the hearing for Stormy Daniels again starting in March. I'm like, Scott and I were talking about that. I'm like, wasn't that taken care of years ago when, what was his name, her lawyer was charged and actually ended up put in jail. And then his lawyer was doing that stuff behind, they showed that he was doing it behind Trump's back and Trump had no knowledge of it. He admitted it. It's like, why the hell are they going to court again for it?
Yeah, okay, that must be the hush money I've been reading about, but I didn't know it was Stormy Daniels. They never mentioned her name, and they never mentioned what it was for, but it starts in March, and
it's for Stormy Daniels.
I'll be damned.
It's for Stormy Daniels. I'm like, that was taken care of years ago.
Yeah. Apparently.
Why are they retrying him in New York? Isn't that double jeopardy?
No. No, that
this
would
is,
be...
This is... This
if they're charging the same crime.
What is that, boy?
This is a criminal case now.
Criminal?
Wasn't it the first time?
Why would it be a criminal case? I don't understand that. Why would it be a criminal case?
Well, double jeopardy only applies in criminal cases, not civil.
And I think the first one was president.
I think these are new charges.
About what?
Well, the first one was while he was president.
Accounting charges.
Accounting? Oh.
How he labeled those payments.
I got it. Did he take it out of the...
Here's what the guy is trying to do. He is trying to overlay California election, California accounting fraud law into a federal prosecution. He's got no jurisdiction to do that.
Funds. They came out of his lawyer's personal funds. Remember? And his lawyer got in trouble for it.
Cohen.
Hang on. This is not federal, Sarge. This is state. State of New York.
Yeah, I know. And that's what Alvin Bragg is trying to overlay the state of New York into a federal election campaign. But he's saying the fact that there is a federal law that forbids a fraud in federal election campaigns gives him the right to invoke a New York statute. That's legally crazy. And he knows he's probably going to lose on appeal, but he thinks he can get away with it probably to short-circuit Trump's campaign shot, and he's doing it at the behest of somebody else. I'm absolutely convinced of that. But that's his legal theory.
Yeah.
But the point is his lawyer at the time gave those funds out of his funds They didn't even come from Trump's funds.
Yeah, that's
This is Michael Cohen's deal.
Michael Cohen, yeah.
Cohen paid Stormy.
Okay, yeah.
And then Trump legal reimbursements or something like that.
He probably charged
how he
him
labeled
for
it.
It. He probably charged
yeah,
him
whatever
with a bill.
Whatever Cohen done would have been on the behalf of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Right.
But
right.
he was proven that Trump did not authorize him to do that. That's why Cohen got in trouble. And then her lawyer got in trouble and went to jail. And then
yeah.
was on every news station for a while.
Well, and Trump she sued Trump, she got paid. He countersued her, and he got back triple.
Right.
Yeah.
Look, I never heard anybody who was a victim of an extortion attempt, which is what Donald Trump was, because she tried to extort him after signing the non-disclosure agreement. She tried to extort him, and then all of a sudden, the extorter becomes the victim. And Alvin Bragg is trying, as Boyd pointed out, he's trying to enforce federal election campaign law. He's got no jurisdiction to do it. He's got no authority to do it. But he's doing it because it's New York, and they're letting him get away with it.
Well, but the bottom line is this case was already settled for all practical purposes.
You wish.
I mean, I'm just saying, if it doesn't have the same outcome as the previous case, then that shows the extreme corruption in New York.
Well, you know,
and the thing is Stormy Daniels isn't even the one bringing the charges.
No.
To paraphrase what they told Jack Nicholson in Chinatown, New York, Jake.
You're right.
Well, here's the other thing. It's already predetermined Trump is guilty. And to prove that case against him for financial dealings that Loretta James brought against him, he was guilty before he even had his trial.
Right.
Well, even the case with what's her name, Jean, whatever the crazy
Carol.
Lady.
Yeah.
Yeah, Carol. It's like. They get him for defamation, really, and they could not bring forth anything in this on their case. Nothing. They shot down anything and everything the lawyer wanted to submit as evidence.
It was his word against hers that she's a flake. She's a provable flake. I mean, it was literally the case literally rested on that.
I understand that, but the point is the judge would not allow his lawyer to present any. Counter evidence at all.
Yeah.
They brought forth all the evidence they wanted, but the judge refused to see evidence to defend himself.
That's correct.
And it's like, how is that a fair and just trial? It's not.
Not intended to be. It never was intended to be.
But the Democrats are running with it that he was, you know, they're saying that he had to pay for sexual assault, for raping her. And I'm like, if he raped her, then wouldn't he be in jail? If he was guilty of rape.
Well, statute of limitations would have been long. Remember, this happened allegedly in 1995. Even rape statute of limitations in New York is long up by then, and you cannot apply a law retroactively. There was a statute of limitations at the time in New York. I think it was between 6 or 8 years, and obviously 8 years is long past from 1995. So they went after him civilly, and that's the only thing they could do.
Well, and then they didn't even find him guilty civilly. They just said they had defamation.
And she didn't
claim it
anyway.
You know,
to be unjust unless you do appeal, and how long would that take? So what they're hoping and betting on is that this will go through the campaign and he won't be elected.
That's what they're hoping, but it ain't
going
to happen.
Here's another thing about that Jean Carroll, whatever. Okay?
Psychopath.
She has to be the only woman that has been raped multiple times,
yep.
by men of stature.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, and here's the other deal. I mean, I do not want to minimize.
How does that happen? She's gone after six or seven different men of stature, like Bloomberg.
Muniz. She went after Muniz, too. Moynihan? No. He was the head of CBS. That's all I can remember now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Moonbees. Moonbees.
Yeah.
Right.
And a few others. But any victim will remember every single detail. They remember the smell. They remember the color of the wallpaper. They remember the color of the curtains, the carpeting. She didn't claim
rape, Gene. She didn't claim that she was raped.
Digital penetration.
I don't exactly know.
Well, it's
know
still
exactly
a violation.
What the hell the
it's,
charge was.
Okay, regardless. Point being is it's still a serious violation.
Well,
the guy said it to me.
But there's no way that happened.
But here's the crucial thing about this case. She is a big self-confessed Law and Order fan. And the plot line is amazingly similar to a story from Law and Order. And they had video surveillance cameras in place at the time of this alleged incident. And there was no evidence recorded to even show that Donald Trump was even in the building on that date. There was no evidence other than a word. That was the entire evidence against Donald Trump.
They would not allow that. They would not allow that. The judge said they
would
not allow that.
I know. That's why it's such a travesty.
And then
going to be.
Well, no, the dress she was wearing. I'm sorry, Don.
Talk about that dress.
But then again, she has been interviewed on TV and says that she really likes rape.
Yeah, she thinks it's erotic.
She said rape is sexy. She said rape is sexy.
Oh, yeah, on CNN.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they went to commercial real quick.
They sure did.
But the dress that she even claims that she was wearing didn't come out for another, two or three years?
That's right.
Yeah.
The Donna Karen dress. And it wasn't even in stock. And they made a big deal out of
It hadn't even been designed.
Right. But they made a big deal out of showcasing her wearing it in a Vogue photo shoot. And she said emphatically, this is the ensemble she was wearing when Donald Trump sexually assaulted her. She was emphatic about it. She said she remembered that detail of the event.
Yep.
This was a travesty. There's no two ways about it. And then they give her $65 million in punitive damages? Everybody knows this is absurd.
$83 million, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's total. But they gave her $65 million in punitive damages.
Well, and
they gave her
$17
million in actual damages, and then they gave her another $65 million in punitive. So the total's $83
million. But she was on, Maddow's show, joking about, what she was going to buy for each of them.
You're right.
Oh, yeah.
You are
Hardy
sick.
Hardy har har. Yeah, Hardy har har.
She's just sick.
Yeah,
she's a goofball, man. She's a goofball. But, she serves their purposes. She served their purposes. It's Manhattan. Like I said, the judge excluded all the evidence that would have been exculpatory for Donald Trump in order to get the verdict they got so they could dirty up Trump some more. That's the purpose of this entire proceeding.
I want to know who can throw this guy off the bench. I mean, somebody's got to be over
corrupt.
This guy.
Donald Trump can throw him off the bench. real fucking easy. If it goes through appeal, if he wins an appeal, he should turn around and sue the city of New York and the state of New York for everything they fucking got.
And they ain't got nothing except a lot of illegals.
But I'm saying this guy, this judge, we all seen what he was doing. We know what he was doing. And he's got to have somebody, a boss that's over him. Somebody tell me why he's still on the bench. Why is he still a judge?
Because those in power want him to be in power.
Yes, that's it. We got to credit the corruption in New York. I mean, I believe the New York court system is similar to the United States federal court system, that Superior Court judges have different jurisdictions in the state of New York, and they oversee the activities in those jurisdictions, and they can, you know, they're the ones that have the authority, like, removed from the, along with others. And, of course, New York has an impeachment process whereby a judge can be impeached. But the point of it is, it's not going to happen as long as the rats are in control. And the rats are in complete control of New York City and New York State.
They're in more control of more than just New York.
Yeah. So all the safeguards are just short-circuited for the time being, as long as things are the way they are. Now, if Donald Trump can show that he's got a civil rights case, of his civil rights being violated in this case, then yeah, maybe he can follow that in and get the feds to come in. But then being president and all, they would say that'd be exerting undue presidential influence over his own case.
Well, you know what blows me out of my mind is if he doesn't have the Presidential Records Act, if he doesn't have immunity while in office, if he doesn't have all these things and they're, you know, trying to pull all that away from him, that's opening a huge Pandora's box. You know, because they can go after Bush, they can go after Obama, they can go after Clinton, they can go, you know, why are they're shooting themselves in the foot if this if it's shown that he doesn't have those immunities.
It's not the first time that the Democrats have shot themselves in the foot. Look at the Supreme Court right now. Okay, the only reason why the Supreme Court has got the makeup that it does is because Harry Reid took down the 2/3 vote for confirmation for the courts. And they're paying for that right now because it's a simple majority.
Well, but tell me something. Don't you think a president who illegally orders federal intelligence agencies to spy on a presidential campaign without an appropriate predicate to do so, shouldn't a president who does something like that face criminal charges? I would think so.
Well,
but they won't.
Why is it that I have a gut feeling that President Trump will not be our 47th president?
I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. Huh? That's for sure. I know what you're thinking.
Yeah, 47.
You're thinking they're going to hit him and take him out before he even gets a chance to be.
Of course.
Well, here's the thing. Joe Biden has done enough things to be impeached and everything else. You got a president there where you've had a judge say that Donald Trump had no immunity on January the 6th. Well, Joe Biden has committed his derelict of duties on the southern border. He has forsaken his oath to the Constitution. Why come the lawsuits are not coming his way? Every citizen who has had a relative, a loved one, who have been criminalized by an illegal, they should file lawsuits. There should be lawsuits flying all over the place for what Joe Biden has done and did not do when it comes down to his duties.
Well, look what they ruled, though, against him about having those records, that he is not competent enough to handle it, but they want to run him for another 4 years. And what he did... But what he did was fully illegal because he was not covered under the Presidential Records Act. And he had them, you know, all over the country, and I mean, including his garage. But he was never a president to be able to remove those documents and have them. But they say
yeah.
because he has, you know, he's onset of dementia, old age, blah, 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 that they can't, they're not going to do anything about it. I'm going to tell you what, though, for a 77-year-old man, Trump is, like, rocking it.
Energy. He's got energy at spare. But, you
he
know, can you think of, can you ever heard of a president before who a special counsel thinks is not competent to stand trial, but somehow is competent enough to make life and death decisions for the entire executive branch of the federal government of the United States? That is beyond
and
comprehension.
And have the nuclear code.
That is
and
double.
Have,
that is the, yeah, have a nuclear and, code. That's the kind of doublethink that can only exist in 1984 or in today's crazy, screwed-up world.
But also
well,
to be able to run for a second term?
Yeah, that's crazy.
But, you know, here's the thing, okay? With what came out of that special counsel report is enough, okay, to set off red flag laws all over the nation, anybody who has a firearm. And yet, Joe Biden has his finger on the fucking button.
Yep. Well, and you know they won't remove him from under the 25th because they do not want Kamala to be the president.
No.
You?
So they will not remove him from office.
Leave Biden where he's at. I don't want Harris.
Biden, in my brain, should be removed for not only corruption, but treason and other high crimes
Absolutely.
Of misdemeanor. Because because of those records, he was spying for somebody.
Uh huh. Well, and then the what was it? The bribe for the prosecutor removed him actually literally saying that, you know what, you ain't getting the money unless he's gone. And by George, guess what happened? He was gone.
Oh yeah.
And they got their money. I mean, and they're like, there's not enough evidence to substantiate that. Bullshit. He said it himself. He said
right
it
on.
Himself. Regardless of if he was actually paid under the table on top of it, that was still extortion on his part. Or blackmail
yeah,
or whatever you want to call it.
Quid pro quo.
Blackmail?
That's what they tried to nail Trump on
Trump.
With his phone call with Zelensky.
Yep. Oh,
yeah.
And then
speaking of
Ukraine, the interview Tucker did with Putin?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you guys, did you all watch it?
I did.
No,
did
I haven't
it?
Seen it.
Yeah, I saw
well,
it.
Who
I
did
saw
miss?
Much of it.
2 years ago, when Putin went in, I believe Kathy was on one night too, and we had both said that it was because there was Nazi control in Ukraine, and everybody thought we were stupid and crazy. Guess what Putin said? The Nazi control in Ukraine is one of the reasons he went into Ukraine.
Yeah, there's Nazi stickers everywhere now in Ukraine.
Oh man, you got those some of those Azov battalion guys wearing Nazi tattoos and swastikas and everything else tattooed right on their body.
But my point is, Kathy and I have been listening to a lot of alternative media and people they call truthers. And they told us that when that invasion hit, that
mm-hmm.
it was because of Nazi control and because of child sex trafficking and human trafficking and money laundering were huge parts of why Putin went in. Now, obviously, he's not going to tell them, well, we went in because of the child trafficking. You know what I mean? That's just not going to happen. But the Nazi control, and we were telling you guys, and boy, we got laughed at.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did.
Well, here, okay, here's my gut, okay? This is my gut talking to me. You know, we got the white hats and the black hats, right?
Yep.
Okay. My gut tells me Putin is a white hat.
Me too. And so is Xi from China.
I don't think he's a white hat.
I do. I think he's trying to take out the CCP in China.
I don't think
that. Why do you think that, Jane?
Because of things he has done and said. I can't put my finger on it right at the moment. You're talking almost 4 years of stuff that I've listened to and watched and
right.
researched and looked at. I can't put my finger on one specific thing, but I really do think that Xi and Putin and I almost think, what's his name in North Korea? What's his name in North Korea? I can't think of his name.
Rocket Man. Rocket Man.
Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if he's on that team, too. But I really think that they're trying to work together to pull out about this child trafficking, the human trafficking, and pull down the corruption, because the CCP is nothing more than the cabal.
Look, Russia is not a threat to the United States.
No.
Sarge, how long did it take Stalin to come to the conclusion that Hitler had double-crossed him?
It took a little while. Initially, that's why the Germans penetrated so far in the Soviet Union during Operation Barbarossa, because he was about a couple of days before he would even acknowledge they'd actually invaded. He thought it was just a German trick to try to provoke trouble between the Germans, the Soviets, and the Nazis. He's paranoid. I mean, his initial response, he wouldn't allow his troops to deploy. He told them it had to be a trick when the intelligence service presented him with a German deserter who laid out the initial plans for the invasion of Barbarossa in fair amount of detail, Army Group North, Army Group Center, Army Group South, what their objectives were, everything else. He said it was a trick, an anti-Soviet trick in order to provoke the Soviet Union into action against Germany, and he had the guy shot.
Well, you know,
and lo and behold, they got caught by surprise. He was paranoid, just like this Xi Jinping is paranoid.
Absolutely. Russia is very paranoid about its borders throughout its history. Hell, while we were fighting the British in 1812, who were they fighting in 1812? Napoleon.
That's right.
And I'm going to tell you, you got to realize that nine of the former Union of Soviet Socialist Republics that used to be in the Warsaw Pact, they were part of the Soviet Union, are now in NATO, and they're all encroaching on Soviet borders. And Ukraine being on Soviet borders and being in NATO was simply intolerable to Russia. They simply would not countenance it. And they said so. And let's face it, who was it who importuned Ukraine to give up their nuclear weapons? It was the Minsk Accords, the European Union, and Victoria Nuland and her ilk over there in the State Department under Obama. If Ukraine had kept their nuclear weapons, Russia would never have dared to invade Ukraine.
I don't know.
There's no way they would invade Ukraine if Ukraine had nuclear weapons.
You also got to realize that those nukes weren't really Ukraine's nukes. Those are Russian nukes. Stationed.
Well,
another
equipment is theirs. It's ours.
Well, they kept most of their Warsaw Pact equipment when they left the Soviet Union, and they weren't going to give up their nuclear weapons without a fight. But remember, this was negotiated in the Minsk Accords. I mean, Russia was demanding the nukes back, but Ukraine wasn't going to give them up. It was the European Union and the United States who convinced them that that's what they should do. And they promised them some sort of vague sort of protection if they did, which they never, which they reneged on. And they hadn't, I guarantee you, if Ukraine had kept those nuclear weapons, they would not have dared to invade Ukraine. Nobody invades another country today and they got nuclear weapons. Not invasion. They might go to war with them over some theater or maybe in some ground like maybe the oceans or something else. But if another power has nuclear weapons, you don't invade their country. That ain't happening.
The thing is, we're saying that they weren't Ukraine because maybe they didn't build them. But maybe they came from the U.S., went someplace, went to another place, went to another place, and ended up in the Ukraine. Regardless, they had them.
Oh, they had they were Soviet built nuclear weapons, no doubt about that. They were definitely built by the Soviet Union. I mean, they weren't ours. We didn't provide it with them. But I tell you one thing though, we sure as hell did convince them to give them up, and that was a mistake on the United States part and the European Union's part. They weren't going to let Ukraine into NATO because they knew that would be too provoking to Russia. So the only real option Ukraine had of keeping the Russians out was to retain their nuclear arsenal, which they were forced to give up if they wanted all the aid that the European Union and the West promised them. And look what, again, Victoria Nuland and her bunch did in the Euromaidan Revolution in 2014. You had a democratically elected president named Yanukovych, who was Russian-friendly, democratically elected to the job, and the European Union and Victoria Nuland fomented a coup that kicked him out and put in Petro Poroshenko, who was pro-European Union and anti-Russian. And this is another thing that got the Russians riled up. I mean, we miscalculated at every single instance with regard to Ukraine. I think the European and the United States are largely responsible for Putin's response. I'm not trying to excuse Putin. I'm not. He's ruthless. I think he wants to reestablish the old Russian empire. But look, every nation, I don't care who it is, it doesn't matter. They all have their what they perceive as their national interests, particularly their national security interests, and all of them will act accordingly. And you have to take that into account when you deal with them or if you provoke them.
I don't think Putin's as ruthless as you think he is.
He's pretty ruthless. He's a KGB guy. I think he is. He's smart.
Yeah.
He's calculating. He's smart. And he's also ruthless. But look, he's a national leader. He's got their interests, and his interests are legitimate. If we had biolabs, if the Russians had put biolabs in Mexico, if someone had fomented a revolution in Mexico right there on our border, if the Warsaw Pact was encroaching in Central America and into Mexico, we probably would have been invaded and justified in invading Mexico. Similarly, the Russians look at their interests in a much same way.
Well, that was another reason he went in, was because of those biolabs, because of all the junk that came out of the biolabs in China that we funded.
That's right.
But, you know, here our Congress is sending Ukraine more flipping money. I'm so tired of sending other countries money,
yes,
especially
but look
Ukraine.
They did it. Here's the deal, Gene. It's $60 million this year, that they're also on the hook to send $60 million next year and the year after that. And Trump, if he's elected, has already said he's not giving Ukraine a penny. And that's,
I'd like to know,
that's why they did this.
What other country has their taxpayers give us money? None. Why are we sending all these countries, especially the ones that hate us, money? Stop sending them money. Sink or swim, people.
If you stop, if we stop sending them money, our Congress people will lose all of their money.
That's right.
Their income will go away.
Bingo.
You're absolutely right.
Bingo.
It's money laundering.
I know, but I'm tired of the
American
citizens.
If you want some of the money
rough
off, you get some too.
That's right.
Well, I thought about going down the Mexico border and, you know, crossing over and then coming back and saying, you know, I'm an illegal and I need a free housing and free phone.
I,
and
Want a
free
nice
food.
iPhone. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Give me all my living expenses. I'll just sit on the beach.
And then you can beat up police officers and then you can go to jail.
And kill people.
And they release them and they give you the finger because, hey, they can get away with it.
And kill people and get away with it.
That's right.
Because, you know, they have no way to track these people and they release them out into the public and they're gone. They're gone.
I would do it, too, if I could find a cab that would let me out right in front of the gate. I'm not walking those damn 100 miles.
Amen. I just crossed in. Can I have? It's like somebody posted a picture of a lady, a very large lady, and it said, the caption basically said, you cannot convince me that she walked all the way from, let me find it. It was like perfect. You know what I mean? It was just perfect. Because you would lose a lot of weight walking. Oh, right here. No way in heck you can convince me the lady in the purple walked all the way from Guatemala.
Have you not seen those videos of gondola cars, a 3 and 4 mile gondola car train loads of illegal aliens coming up to the Mexican border? I mean, there's just thousands of them per train load coming up to the border. They're coming. They're building a bridge over the Darien Gap to enable them to cross easier.
Well, we want to make it easier for them. Come on.
You better believe
it. Even they were showing, actually, these were women, and coming under the barbed wire with children, using cardboard boxes to lift up the barbed wire. I'm like, if you're videoing it, who's videoing this and releasing it? You know? That's my question. Who is videotaping it and releasing the information? And if it's our Border Patrol or, you know, whatever, why the hell are
how they getting
do
it to the news stations? How they get it to the news? If I send a video, I don't know who to send it to at the news.
Well,
you know?
There's all kinds of people. I've been seeing... But, Joe, there's all kinds of people. I'm seeing the reports all over the place. They're embedding themselves with the migrants, and they're traveling with the migrants, and they're documenting the path and the journey. And they're taking documentary pictures of this all the way up to the time they come through the razor wire and get into the country. So that's how they're trying to alert everybody to how it's being done.
So how do they get back into the country then? How do they get back into the country?
The same way the aliens do. A lot of them are doing it are American citizens who are just traveling with the illegal aliens, and they come across the border with the illegals the same way they do. They're already American citizens. They got a right to come back in the country. They're just not coming into a legal port of entry.
Yeah, but then that's illegal. They got to be checked out. I can't do that because I could be smuggling drugs or something, you know?
I understand that they're breaking the law. But see, for most of them, the reason they're doing it is to alert the American people to the danger of not stopping this border. Yes, they are breaking the law. But damn it, there's such a thing as civil disobedience when you're trying to alert the American people to a greater wrong.
Well, sometimes you got to break the rules. Sometimes
you
got to break the rules to show what's actually happening.
Right, exactly.
All I know is if I did it, I'd have to go through cuffs. I'd get, you know, detained and checked out and everything. I'm just saying, you know, all these people, why are they, you know, what's happening, you know, and we're talking about what you get in the pictures and everything to these media outlets. I mean, so, you know, what's going on here?
All they
it just
have to
seems
do
like,
is,
yeah, it's staged.
But remember, though, Joe.
Social media. All you have to do is post it to social media. That's
but remember,
it.
Though,
you
Joe.
You don't have to send it to a news station.
Yeah, but the problem isn't American citizens trying to alert us to the dangers. The problem is millions of illegal aliens being waved into the country, given tickets, and sent hither and yon everywhere in the United States without even being vetted.
Oh,
that's the problem.
Oh,
I wish the problem was a few hundred American citizens coming back across the border other than ports of entry. The problem is millions of illegal aliens.
I agree with you, Sarge. Where are they ending up at? You know, has anyone ever met any of these people? Because I'll tell you what, be honest with you, here in North Carolina where I'm at, I haven't met any of them. I haven't seen any of them come through here in my area.
Well, that's because they're shipping them to New York and Chicago now because they're supposed to be sanctuary cities and cities.
Yeah. I mean, that could be. It's like and I said, I still came in, you know. I mean, North Carolina's got, you know, Charlotte, Raleigh, Greensboro. Greensboro is the second largest city, you know, in North Carolina. So, you know, I just don't see them.
Joe, they're there. They are there.
You know, they're hiding. They're hiding because.
Well, they're coming to Michigan, too.
Every Tuesday and Thursday night, I go and watch a YouTube video that the guy's probably already put it up, where he actually tracks the flights of the immigrant machine, of where they're coming from, where they're going to, and dropping them
Who's
off.
That? Who is that? Monkey
huh?
Works? Monkey
yeah.
Works?
Yeah. That's it. You got it.
So he's aiding and abetting a crime. He's aiding and abetting a crime. Aiding and abetting
How?
A crime then.
Who is?
Because he's tracking it?
No, is he tracking and helping them? No, I misunderstood. Is he tracking them and or is he helping them?
He's tracking them.
Oh, okay. I thought you said he picked them up and he brought them to their destination.
No,
he tracks the airplanes that they are using to transport all these people around.
Look up Monkey Works on YouTube and or Rumble or and the Works is W-E-R-X, not W-O-R-K-S. It's W-E-R-X. And he he tracks a lot of military planes. He'll track Air Force One, Air Force Two, the helicopters. He tracks a lot of it.
Basically, he tracks military and government aircraft.
Yep.
Good. Okay.
And you will be shocked at what you find out.
Yeah.
It'll make you question everything you think you believe right now. And this is with actual live proof. Am I right?
Yep.
Who are you talking about?
Monkey Works.
Oh, yeah, Monkey Works. Oh,
yeah. Every day I'm prepared to have my assumptions challenged because I've never seen anything like what I'm seeing going on today. So every day is a challenge to every assumption I've ever had in my entire life.
A lot of things, I can't remember the other gentleman's name that was just talking a few minutes ago, but they talked about the white hats and black hats.
That was Boyd.
That was me.
I'm sorry? Oh.
Well, that was me, Boyd.
I'm guessing you and me and Kathy, we've been listening to a lot of the alternative media. I'm assuming you have, like, and we know, trying to think who else. Off the top of my head, I've dropped a few because they kind of got way out there.
I don't watch a lot of that stuff, okay?
You have to limit it because they get a lot of it out there.
I try and catch most of Monkey Works YouTube videos. And I'll sit there and, you know, look at the headlines that I'm seeing and what he's showing and other stuff. And it just kind of forms in my head. You know,
it validates a lot of what other truthers, so to speak, are saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the conspiracies, you know, you thought that just the Rothschilds was conspiracy stuff. You ain't seen nothing. You know what I mean? But when you watch Monkey Works, it makes you go down those rabbit trails. And he's showing you the truth. You know, he's showing you can go right to those. He shows the websites and everything you can go to.
Yep.
So it's not like he's hiding the information where you can find it yourself. But even like Derek Johnson, you know, things that he has said and, you know, there's a lot of
he has put in a lot of time over the years tracking these aircraft, and he can track specific aircraft by their tail numbers. You know,
well,
you know,
information is on the internet. Any airplane that takes to the sky has got a transponder on. You can track it from takeoff to wherever it's going around the globe.
And that's what he does.
That's what he does, except he does not track any of the aircraft. He picks out what he wants to see, and that's all that's up on the board. You don't see all the rest of the aircraft that are up there.
Right. And they're typically government and military.
Oh, that guy. That guy, I know that. Yeah, I know that guy. Yeah, he had my podcast on his channel once when I exposed the vaccine thing, when I talked to the health department out there in, what the hell was it? What the hell's the name of that freaking town out there in California? I forgot. I don't know. I called the health department and I pretended that I liked the I wanted to know about the IDs and the vaccination, and I wanted the booster shot. And he put my show on there, on his thing. Now I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Their website.
Yeah, he don't like
CPS
either.
Yeah, their website is called Sky Vector.
No. Oh, that one that he uses, Sky Vector. I'm sorry. All I know Monkey Works is Monkey Works.
He uses FlightAware and it's what's the one he's using right now? It just came out with a new version.
I don't know. I haven't watched him in a little while.
Sky Glass or something like that. But
what'd
you
say it was, Bianchi?
It's called Sky Vector. It's free.
Sky Vector?
VECTR, yes.
No, I don't think that's the particular one that he's using.
That may not be the one he used, but that's one you could use unless you want to pay something special.
Yeah.
A few different ones over the years. Bianchi, I'll tell you what, Convention of States, I'm done with them. I'm done with them, man. They pissed me off last night. Sending me a text message talking about they're going to endorse my opponent. Oh, so you must not have done your research then over here in North Carolina.
Convention of States is not supposed to endorse anyone.
Well, they did last night. I got the text message proving
it. Your life and help you drop up to 11 pounds week after week.
If you got some people on there that said that, they're totally out of order. They're not supposed to endorse anyone. Hell, you got
the
Democrats that have signed the petition. It's not about party politics.
That's what I thought. When I heard that, I was like, man, they lied to me, and that was it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I want to know why Senator John Kennedy voted for that bill. There's got to be a reason. I trust him, so there's got to be a reason. So Bianchi, that's your job.
Donnie, I'd watch out for him. I would really watch out for him.
You mean the border bill? He voted for the border bill?
Send money over to Ukraine. He voted yes. I was surprised.
Damn.
I mean, everybody, people were all, went, what the hell is he doing? Because everybody likes the guy. From all over the country, people, what the hell did he do that for? There's got to be a reason. There's got to be a reason we can't figure out. And I'd like to know what the hell it was, too. How you doing, Ron Reck, in the chat room? Bring your boy, call in. Bob, call in.
Hey, I just placed Monkey Works YouTube video for tonight in the chat room.
Oh, okay, I see it. Yeah, check that out, guys. It is interesting seeing planes going every which way, and he tells
you.
Well,
he educates you.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only problem I have with him is his geographical knowledge and names of countries and stuff, he kind of gets them a little confused, but he knows where they're at, but he calls them something, you know, sometimes something different, you know.
Yeah, I got a globe from 100 years ago. It's got Indochina, Indonesia. What the hell was that? I don't know what the hell it was. I don't know, man, there's countries on here that don't even exist anymore.
What do you mean, like Austria, Hungary, Austria-Hungary, and Siam?
Yeah, Siam.
Yeah, those are old maps, all right. And Vietnam.
I wouldn't get rid of
the
that.
The old map, the Ottoman Empire. If it's got the Ottoman Empire, it's an old map.
Yeah. It's my wife's globe. We rescued it.
Yeah. Might have some value as an antique if it's got the Ottoman Empire on it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's got that. It might. It's old.
Yeah, but you know what it does have?
What's that?
Has real history.
That's right.
This is what the world used to look like.
Yeah.
Even you rub your hand over where the mountains are, it's got the bumps. You know how?
Yeah.
In school. Oh.
Hey, what's Lindell TV? Lindell TV.
That's Mike Lindell.
Mike Lindell.
Yeah, it's Mike.
No, a woman.
He does shows. He's got people that does shows on his website.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Donnie, now I know you are awake and alive this morning. I know you saw what happened in Fulton County on the witness stand. You talk about some compelling TV.
Yeah.
I mean, man, that was that. I wanted to break away from the damn thing. I don't want to watch that. I just wait for the summaries, but I just couldn't help it. It was so compelling to watch the lies and the deception and the arrogant hubris and the attempt to bully and intimidate that utterly failed. I mean, it was stunning to watch in real time.
Did she ever answer?
Sarge?
I know the lawyer asked her if, who is the race, you pulled your race card deal. Who's the racist? Who are you calling a race? Racist. And I said, oh, this is going to be. Then she was trying to, like, I want to get on that witness stand right now. Well, I tell you what, her boy was sweating his ass off, man. He was in bad shape.
He had water on the desk.
What's that, Pianchi? Oh, he's talking to somebody else.
Sarge.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Quentin.
You got hooked just like I did. You know, that's all I can say. You know,
that's right.
I wanted to go away. I had other things I had to do today, and I'll be goddamned if I wasn't able, I couldn't do them because I got sucked into that shit.
But here was my major takeaway from everything that went down today.
Oh,
now, let's assume for a moment this woman was telling the truth, which we know she wasn't. We know she wasn't, but for the sake of argument here, let's say she was telling the truth. Okay. She was concerned enough about the appearance of impropriety to pay back Mr. Wade, so she couldn't say that she was profiting from being rewarded with Fulton County money as a result of her appointment of him as a special prosecutor. Yeah. Let's assume that is true. She was that concerned that she was going to give half of everything back to him in order to make sure there wouldn't be the appearance of impropriety. But yet, at the same time, she did not document with paperwork a single thing, not a single transaction. But she's concerned enough about it to pay him back to avoid the appearance of it and doesn't have a single receipt to document the fact that she reimbursed him. And get
That's
this
right.
now. And then she gets up there and says, she only gave the guy cash four or five times from this hoard of money she keeps in her house. And Nathan Wade gets up there and says that every transaction that he made was reimbursed. And it had to be more than four or five times. They couldn't even get the story straight.
Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. The fact that she said that she paid him back proves herself admittedly that she received it. And if she kept it for any duration, it benefited her.
Like a loan.
Well,
like a loan would.
Here is another little sidebar on that. MSNBC's commentary on all of this, all of the MSNBC's experts and stuff, all said she's fucked.
Yeah,
oh, that's, you know she's got to be then, if they've said
CNN,
that.
CNN and MSNBC were saying the same thing, that this whole thing is going to go down the toilet.
I mean, it was staggering to watch her get up there and embellish every answer. I don't know what was wrong with just letting it get away with it as long as he did, but he was clearly exasperated by it. She had to embellish rather than just answer the damn question, maybe give a little bit of an explanation, like one sentence worth, and then shut up. But no, she'd go on and on and on like she was in charge of the courtroom, like she was in charge of determining what is supposed to be admitted as evidence. I couldn't believe it. I said, wait, hey, lady, you're a witness. You're a witness. You don't get that's what the judge is in this courtroom for. But she's up there trying to run the whole show like it's her courtroom. I was staggered just watching that.
Well,
no, you're right.
here's the thing. Sarge, did you watch her when she first got up there or sometime during her time on the stand? Did you hear her say, I am not on trial. They are on trial.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard that, yes.
Man. You know, people with megalomania get Louis XVI attitude, you know. L'État, c'est moi. I am the state, you know. And to some extent, she's got that kind of megalomania, man. She's indicted. She is the arbiter of all things in Fulton County. You know, look, I'm telling you what this was, man. Look, let me tell you what this thing was for her. Now, this is the problem with living in an echo chamber. That's why I go on to formats and forums around the web where people don't like me one little bit and they hate my guts. And I go on there and I tell them what I think. Because I want to make sure I don't live in an echo chamber where everybody reinforces what I already believe. Because it's important to have other ideas. That's the reason I do it. That is the reason I do it. Not just only to oppose them and strengthen my own arguments, but so I don't live in an echo chamber and think everybody's going to agree with me. See, she's been living in an echo chamber in Fulton County. She's been able to do all these prosecutions because people she's going up against, for the most part, don't have the kind of resources that she has as a Fulton County prosecutor. And she's been able to get away probably with a lot of stuff that probably needs to be reviewed. But this time, she went up against the kingpin himself, Donald John Trump and his associates, who ain't going to take her bullshit lying down. And she was going to – look, here's what she was thinking. She lives in an echo chamber. Everybody in her echo chamber tells her how wonderful she is, how smart she is, how up-and-coming she is. Hell, she's got a book written by David Isikoff, Find Me the Votes, telling everybody what a dynamic, forthright, and righteous prosecutor she is, out to get the big old bad orange guy who tried to steal an election from the good citizens of Georgia. And lo and behold, her attempt to either propel herself into the state house or the United States Senate,
That's right. The
Attorney General, or something else, is now backfiring on her big ass like nothing else she probably could have ever foreseen. And all I got to say is schadenfreude is a beautiful thing when it all comes down the right way. I'm enjoying the hell out of this.
Yeah. Now, who's the dude that got up there with the book? That
Isikoff, David Isikoff.
Was that his name?
David, he was the big guy in the Clinton administration.
Excuse me.
Big liberal. Big liberal.
All right, let me clarify. Isikoff wrote the book. The guy who came up, I cannot remember his name, but he was one of Trump's lawyers. who tried to ask questions about the quote and stuff because the book is about Fannie.
Fannie even
stated on the witness stand that she has not read the book.
Yeah, she did.
That wasn't Trump's lawyer, though, was it?
That was one of Trump's lawyers, or probably one of the lawyers of one of the other co-defendants in this mess.
Oh.
You know, okay. There. It's not just Trump, but
yeah.
It's, you know, the other people who are charged, and some of them have already been convicted, or they gave up and threw up their hands and made a plea deal and all of that other stuff. But, you know, I have just a gut conspiracy theory. Okay. I am now beginning to wonder if this is not staged for the purpose of getting Trump's case kicked out of court and fully dismissed, because they know Trump has the evidence to bring to court to show that there was voter fraud.
Uh-huh.
And if this trial goes forward,
mm-hmm.
you know, into actual court, into actual litigation, Trump will be allowed, they'll probably fight him on it, but will be allowed to bring in the evidence that he has that convinced him to say what he said, that they are trying to convict him of. And all of that evidence has not ever seen the light of a courtroom. Because they kept throwing it out, because they say the people who were bringing it have no standing.
Right.
Well, they cannot, under any condition, say, once they get Trump in the courtroom, that he does not have standing for this because of the fact he is the number one victim of the voter fraud.
It's possible.
Yeah. 909, you're on too. Just put you on. Yeah.
Thank you, Johnny. I'm here. Thank you.
Oh, hey, how you doing?
All right. All I think I see with today's trial is I don't think she should have been up there yet. Need to hear from all the witnesses, get all their testimony, then let her come in and hang herself. With her coming out there right now, she's just throwing a bunch of stuff out there where she sounds like an idiot, but it may, the judge wasn't helpful at all for the prosecution.
I don't think
he
kept
telling them. So that kind of hurt him there in a way. I mean, they got her because she hung herself, but she shouldn't have been up there yet. They should have waited for all the other witnesses to come on. I think the prosecution said, whoa, stop, get her off the stand. Because she's not, you know, she thinks she knows everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, don't yell at her. Don't yell at her. And where she lay her head, wherever she lays her head, I know that was a bank.
Yeah. Well,
they need to bring her on later on. Then let her hang herself.
You might be right.
Well, you know, the thing was, is that when she took the stand, okay, the lawyers were at the point in the court where they wanted to, they were going to start discussing bringing her on as a witness and subpoenaing her to bring her on. And that's when she walked in the fucking courtroom.
Right. She's watching it. And then she says, oh, hell, I got to get out there. They're starting to make me look like a liar. And there she goes. She goes out there. It's such bullshit.
Yeah.
And you're right, Boyd. I had a hard time doing things today, too. I had a list of things to do, and I had to sit there and watch that. That was too good.
Yeah, that was better than the O.J. trial.
That was a farce. Oh, sorry. Did I say that out loud?
Yeah. Now, I know that Fox had it all on from beginning to end. Did any of the other stations have that coverage?
Well, on YouTube, there's a guy named Robert DeVay, and he ran it live, and he does a really good analysis on everything. He's a defense attorney at one time, or still is, and he's been commenting on this whole trial business with the New York, with Georgia, with the E. Jean Carroll. He's been covering all this stuff, and he gets all the affidavits and all the testimonies, the paperwork, and he goes, oh, but I don't know about the other network, but I just know this young gentleman has a good broadcast on it.
Well, I was just wondering, because I didn't switch off of Fox, you know. It was just like, in fact, it was so good that when I had to do a couple phone calls, I had my TV paused so I could get right back into it when I was done with the call. So, yeah.
Yep.
Well, the mainstream media is okay until they get down to the part of the commentary, and then they suck.
Well, no, then they spin.
Absolutely, they spin. They like to tell you what you thought or what you think of what you just saw.
Yeah.
I want to get 323 on. 323, you're on with us.
Well, I knew this day would always come. The day when Donnie couldn't tell Saturdays from Thursdays. This is Thursday, Donnie.
Yeah.
I tried to slide the show in under the guise of hiding. I can't even talk tonight. I'm losing my voice.
Well, that's a really good time to decide to do a show on the fly is when you can't talk.
I noticed. Yeah. I was thinking the same thing, Laurie.
Oh, boy.
Well, that's what had me fucking confused.
You got to stop yelling at your dog, Donnie.
What's that, buddy?
You got to stop yelling at your dog.
I know. He's been sleeping. He relaxed. Yeah, he told me to tell you to kiss his hairy ass.
Yeah, I deserved that.
Shit. I saw the show. I said, wait a minute. I had to check the calendar. I said, wait a minute. This is Thursday. What the hell is Donnie doing on now?
Yeah. Exactly the same thing, Joe, for me. I'm going, wait a minute. Is today Saturday? Did I miss?
You're wrong. It's Saturday. It is Saturday, guys. What are you talking about?
Holy shit. I missed two fucking days already. Holy
sleep year.
I knew you were losing your mind.
Year.
You and Laurie have been on that bong. You guys got to stop doing that.
Yeah. Let me check my calendar again. Holy shit. Joe's right. It's fucking Saturday. Goddamn.
Tell you what, Pianchi called me and got it all started.
What
got
happened?
Got it all started.
Oh, yeah?
He's mad as hell about what the hell's going on.
What we've gone to that 8-day calendar now, where we got it's called Blur Day.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this fucking country's accelerated its fucked upness, all right? Every time I do my research now for the past couple of weeks, I'm going, holy shit. Holy shit, not only the immigration issues, but the governors are trying to sign bills, which are giving the immigrants new housing, kicking the vets out, giving them credit cards, giving them debit cards. And then you got to worry about, of course, surveillance. You know, surveillance all over the place. And,
that's what Bianchi, client Bianchi said the same thing, man. Every time you turn your head, it's something going on.
Yeah, everything's accelerated. Then I'm coming out with reports.
Well,
that
you guys ever listen to Art Bell?
Well, he's the guy that died.
Yeah, Art Bell.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Art Bell. Yeah, yeah.
Well,
okay, yeah.
I didn't know that he died, but you know, I know that he's not on the air anymore. But,
oh wow, he died.
You know, he calls this the quickening.
And it's Alex Jones. He calls it the quickening.
Yeah, well, he robbed that from Art Bell.
Okay. Art Bell's been dead for quite a while. Few years.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well,
just a little
side note on Art Bell. He used to be a DJ up here in Anchorage.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Well, he had the number one show. I know that.
Who took over for him? He's not doing too bad either. He maintained the ratings. He's put number one at night between, 1 a.m. and 4 a.m., something like that. What the fuck's his name?
There was a guy, maybe, Joe, maybe you remember this guy that was on the same station. He's like part-time. He did the weekends, and he would sub. He'd come in. I can't think of the guy's name. He had a real deep voice.
Oh, I know.
George Norrie is the guy who's doing the show now.
George Norrie is, but I can't think of the guy's name. But him and Alex Jones got into it, and it was.
Mr. Solutions, let me ask this historically illiterate doctor.
What the hell is going on?
Somebody's got the background bullshit on.
I think somebody's on another show fighting with somebody. Hold on. I'm not even on the switchboard.
Yeah, but I know the guy you're talking about. He's still on the air, I think.
But he's on the internet now. He's on the internet.
Yeah.
And he comes on at midnight. I can't think of his damn name. But he covers for Alex Jones while Alex Jones was out at he was out at one of the rallies, and it was being recorded, of course, and this guy was watching it, and Alex Jones said he was hit. Somebody hit him, but nobody did. And that guy got so furious he told everybody Alex Jones is nothing but a freaking liar. And he walked out of the studio.
Hey, Wells is his name. I forget his first name. Wells.
Yeah, Wells. That's him. Now
I have my doubt about Alex Jones. I think Alex Jones is very good. He disseminates information very well, and he gets down to the bottom line. He always talks about the globalists, while everybody else is talking about, look what's happening to America, but not referring it, to the Rothschilds, et cetera. But I think Alex Jones, he's pretty smart. But the thing that I always been leery about with him is that he always says, if you don't believe me, look it up. But he doesn't have any of these white papers that he keeps talking about that he says in his youth clue him into the New World Order. Why doesn't he put them on the site?
I don't know. I remember him talking about the white papers. I don't know why he doesn't. But I tell you what, I learned more listening to Alex Jones than I ever had in school.
Absolutely.
And that's a fact.
That's right.
Sometimes some
bad junk, he says, but most of the time he's right on the money.
Oh, yeah. But then again, he was against Trump when Trump came out and said that the vaccine was safe, and then now he's supporting Trump for president. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because I haven't listened to him in a while.
I don't know. I know Joe Rogan is definitely going to vote for Trump.
Joe's going to vote for Trump?
Yeah, he's all over the he's all over the liberals. What they did to especially Gavin Newsom, what he did to California.
Yeah.
Because Rogan used to live in California and he moved to Austin. And he definitely he wants nothing to do with any liberal.
Rogan moved to the wrong spot.
Yeah, he really did.
Because Austin's a liberal part of Texas.
Yeah.
And this idea of secession from the states. Come on, Jesus. Who the hell's talking about that nonsense? Do they really think that if they succeed from the United States, that the location in which they're in now, that they won't have problems? The residents, how are they going to go from Texas to Arizona to every other part of the United States without having to face United States rules? Because if they're going to be a country, they're not going to have this freedom to travel from them to any other state. They're going to be very, very secluded. And I don't think they're thinking about that. Because if you think the United States government is going to welcome secession, they're out of their minds.
You're right, Joe.
Air travel, road travel, distribution of goods, they're going to fuck themselves royal. There'll be the National Guard surrounding Texas, making sure a blockade is there, nothing comes in, nothing comes out. So I don't know what the secession bullshit is about. I can understand why they want it, but for them to think of it as a practical matter, you've got to be out of your mind.
Supposedly about 4, 5, or 6, 7, 8 states to go to also, Joe.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8 states to go?
You know, what about that movement in Eastern Oregon that want to join on to Idaho?
That's a different thing. That can be managed, but still will create problems. But to have one state, especially Texas, okay, which is one hell of an independent state, and then the next state to really do it would be Montana, which would be, miles and miles away. But think about it. If Texas were to be a country, would have to be recognized by the United Nations, and even if they didn't wait for that, do you honestly think anybody, even Trump, in the White House, would allow a state to actually succeed from the Union and become its own nation without consequences?
Well, I don't see, you talk about the states, I mean, the federal government, consists of representatives that represent the state itself. Would it be interesting? It would be interesting.
Yeah, it'd be warfare. It would be the final tinder.
Well, if a fair and transparent ballot doesn't happen, and Article 5 of the Constitution don't happen, well, warfare may be what's next. I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be civil war.
I just saw a headline or something that Arizona is putting forth a bill to make it a crime to cross into Arizona illegally.
Cool.
Which means. You know, you can come in from, say, like New Mexico, being an illegal alien, and you're toast in Arizona.
Good. That's what we all need.
Because they cross the line illegally, because they're not allowed to travel.
Yeah, you can forget about these busloads then.
Well, that's good. That's the way it should be.
That's right. Arrest them all, deport them all. Put them all on an island and then let them all settle it.
Someone asked if they've seen any of those little Mike Watkins running around their state. Where I am, you can find them driving around in a beat-up, like, Toyota Corolla 1989 model, and there'll be, like, 8 of them in there. Just piled in there and going from place to place, and find them a lot at the laundromat.
Well, in some states, they're probably driving around in a brand-new car.
They have some nice cars, I'll tell you that, yeah. But they'll pile in, like, about 8 or 10 of them in, like, in a Toyota Corolla 4-door, and they're all in there, comfortable as can be.
Well, I tell you what, when Trump was first elected, and I remember I was going over to Georgia, Atlanta, coming across that road that run parallel with the ocean on the south,
yeah.
I seen SR5s and that headed toward the west with mattresses on the top, mattresses on the hood, packed full of people. Old school buses that had been converted into campers, it was headed out of here.
Yeah, and then Gump's promising now, if you get elected, it'll be automatic deportation if you can round them up.
Yeah, that's
some of that Ukraine money and deputize some Americans. That's what you need to do.
Speaking about that,
well, we should have the power of citizens' arrest.
Yeah, well, we do have the power.
You're the one getting arrested.
Yeah, I know. That's why I said. That's why I said we should have the power of citizens' arrest, but we won't because they'll flip it on us that we were racist or we were. Oh, what did we see on the TV tonight? That they were racial profiling a lady that got arrested because she had an outstanding warrant, a bench warrant. She was, you know, they thought she had shoplifted. Found out she didn't, but she had an outstanding bench warrant, so she was arrested, and now she's saying that she was racially profiled.
Well, of course.
Well, at some point in time, you have to become immune to that damn declaration that somebody labeled onto you. You got to do what you got to do.
I agree.
And I've said time after time, white males in this country got to get off their butts and do what they got to do. It ain't enough, like me and Sarge. You got to do what you got to do.
What about that fucking guy? Him and his friends were beating up the cops in New York. He got arraigned, got out, no cash bail. That's what they have in New York now. The motherfucker got arrested again. Again.
Is that the one that flipped him off?
Yeah.
Well, Sarge made mention that shooting in Kansas City was probably by illegal gang warfare or something. Hell, you haven't seen no pictures, no description of who the hell it was.
Yeah. Thousands of phones.
Well, have you noticed how fast the shooter in the church there last Sunday has disappeared?
Identified the
person as an LGBTQ lesbian, trans, male, blah, 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 blah. You know, it just disappeared.
And if they catch her, she's going to claim she was misgendered. Or he was misgendered, or it was misgendered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Joe, the guy that beat up the cops, too, they got arrested in Arizona, supposedly. Three of them.
Oh, three of them did?
Three of them got arrested here in Arizona.
Oh, that'd be good.
How they got from New York to Arizona, that's pretty good traveling time.
Yeah, and it's pretty good when you're not supposed to have any much money Get on. No moped's
going to go so far and so long.
Yeah, well, all they had to do was go to the city and say, I want a bus ticket out of here.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a bus ticket out.
Hell, they would have flown them.
That's right, yeah. They won't plane ticket out.
Well, they probably hijacked the car.
Well, they'll be coming back, though, because $53 million they're going to give all these little credit cards out with money stacked on them in New York City.
Pocket money. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pocket money's right. They said the UN and another country is stuffing money, our tax dollar money in envelopes and giving them out and credit cards with a phone and marching orders on how to, and a map on how to go, where to go, and they get food, they get food, they get shelter, and then they keep walking to the next outpost where they can rest up, hop on a train, and on their way they go.
Well, there's two guys.
Are you sure they're walking?
No, they're not walking.
No. Well, there's two guys that started the trail of how they're getting here from South America. And I caught the episode where they got here to the border. But they took the train. They called it the Beast. And these guys travel with all these all those illegals coming in.
Yeah.
And they help them out in a way, not too much, but you know they help feed them, because when they're on these waiting for the trains, they have to get off, and it takes a couple of days for another one that's going to go north. So they find the one that goes on north, they all jump on it, and they go. And these two guys, they travel from day one to the border, and it's quite a journey for them. I just don't understand how these, like, two-year-olds do it.
Well, I'd like to know. They said it costs $15,000 to $30,000 to cross the border.
Right.
Up there in the Northeast told her residents to take in families.
Yeah, let them in.
Oh, yeah. That's another fucking thing.
Yeah, a family in New York did that, and all of a sudden, she said within an hour, we had people that couldn't speak English, like there was eight of them, and they got a little house, and they just dropped them off and left.
Just like that. 2 months from
now,
what about that woman will be dead.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What about the groups of Chinese men coming across?
That's another thing.
You know, 1520.
Oh, fuck.
Yep.
I mean, come on. And they're being put strategically all over the U.S.? That doesn't sound... that sounds like indefinite infiltration and, you know...
Oh, yeah.
Try to take over the states.
I say, let's go down to the border. Who wants to go with me? Let's go to the border and we'll pretend to cross with them. We'll pretend to be illegals. Like, I'll be like from Ireland or something. And then somebody else can go. Maybe Sarge or Pianki, you come from like, what, Congo or Africa or someplace over here. You know, we'll cross together, you know?
I'm too old.
You know, Pianki was from Nigeria.
me and Sarge might be put into slavery. I think we'll be trying to send messages to Donnie to come get us.
We could just look at Pianki and Sarge and go, we're with them. We're with them.
That's right. Yeah, we're with them.
We're with them.
God damn it, Sarge. Who in the hell thought of this idea?
Yeah, right.
Joe Gibson.
Oh, God. Hey, you can't stop me from coming to the country. That's racial profiling. I'm from Nigeria.
Yeah.
You know,
get that $30,000 credit card.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what. You don't have to be black to be from Nigeria. Come on.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you know, everybody can go down there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm from Nigeria, you know. Yeah, but so speaking about those lines of the immigrants who were lined up at the border, you ever notice when you take of those pictures, every single one of them has new clothes on, clean sneakers. They got roll-away luggage. And I'm saying...
Yeah. Their shoes are not worn. They're
yeah.
not worn out.
Hell,
you
look at the women.
Well, God damn it. Hey, listen. They, as a people, have class. They don't break into your back door unless they're dressed for it.
Even without the invitation. They must make
That's
stops
right.
along the way with laundromats and then get back on the bus and then come over here. All of them.
That's how their shoes don't get worn out.
Yeah. And they got rollaway luggage, like they sport, like they're boarding a plane and just got off a plane. Oh, man. God.
Well, I'm going to say good night. You guys have a great night.
Take it easy.
Good night, Zane. You getting ready for zucchini season?
No, I'm getting ready for sleep season right now.
It's early. It's early.
Growing season. For you, maybe. Not for me.
Well, it's only 6:10 here.
6:10? Well, good. Rock on for you. It's 10:11 here. And it's the middle of the week.
Oh, well, you ruined that for me. I was about to say, you go to sleep this early on a Saturday, Jeannie? But, yeah, you ruined that.
It's Thursday. All right, you guys have a great night.
All right.
Good night.
Take care.
Dream crop on the border.
Yeah.
All right, I will. Bianchi's leading the way.
Don't forget, you're with them.
I'm with them. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Oh, boy. Shit.
Like old times.
And then the money that they're spending giving it to the Ukraine and the UK as well. Did you guys read the report about how our armaments are dwindling? Our money, which is being allocated to the military, is dwindling? And that if there's a war, a conventional war, that we're not prepared, in the UK especially?
I don't know about that. Mm-hmm. I mean, we got some real, we're pretty well advanced with the military. You know, it'll take more than 4 years to knock us down to a low grade, something unsophisticated.
Hey. When they are raiding our stockpile of 155 millimeter artillery shells out of Korea to send to Ukraine, you know shit ain't doing real good.
Joe, under ordinary times, maybe, but now with the quickening, because I like that term, with everything being accelerated towards the collapse of the United States, I wouldn't be surprised if there was an independent watchdog that came out with a report that verified that particular other report and saying we are dangerously low in munitions, low with allocations of money. Well, the money we could always print up, but the armaments and the munitions.
Hell, Biden said that out loud. He said we don't have enough. Or, no, it wasn't Biden. It was an admiral that said it. We don't have enough to do anything with right now. We have
Damn. Jesus.
How come you can't find a $20 bill, that's, newer than 2017? You can't find nothing that's marked newer than 2017. How come?
I don't know. That's
well, they're
question.
All going to Ukraine.
Hell, Biden left enough stuff in the Afghanistan that could have took us out to 2050.
That's it. Yeah. I bet you that stuff has been rerouted to the Ukraine, too. Well, unless the, ISIS and the Mujahideen, however you pronounce it, they haven't done it.
Yeah, in China.
I would not be surprised if we ever broke out into war here with the illegal aliens and stuff. I would not be surprised to see a massive shit pot full of those weapons that were left in Afghanistan on our shores given to those people.
No. Those weapons are all allocated. They're scattered abroad.
No, I happen to agree with boys.
Joe,
I have a whole list of what was over there. I have a whole list of what was over there. That's a fraction of what we have as a country, a fraction. And, you know, Afghanistan didn't have the mother load of weapons. They had equipment over there, but I got the list.
Yeah, but wasn't that $6 billion worth, Joe? $6 billion worth of
more than that. It was a little bit more than that, but that's what we spent, 60-something billion a year, you know?
$83 billion worth of equipment, they said.
Yeah.
Tanks, planes.
Yeah, how much, Donnie?
$83 billion.
Fuck. Like I said, we can always print up the money in a second, but the armor themselves?
Yeah.
Oof. That's serious.
They crashed a lot of the stuff. They broke a lot of it. The jets they left over, the helicopters, they smashed them into the ground. They didn't know how to drive them. They killed themselves.
Yeah. Like you were saying, I wouldn't be surprised either. Plus, let's take a look at what's been happening and the news hasn't covered lately. They're letting go of a lot of natural-born American cops, and they're replacing them with what? Fucking illegals.
Yep. I reported on that a year ago. Remember on the Lori Ann show? I remember. I pointed it out, and she read the article last year. And everybody's like, no, they're not going to start doing it. Now look, everybody's talking about it.
I wouldn't want to be a cop nowadays if three times the amount of money.
They wouldn't let you. They wouldn't let you. If you're a white male, you're not going to be a cop.
You're not being a cop at all, Donnie. You know, forget it. I'm an American. Oh, God, no.
Yeah, no way.
Well,
and if you're white, forget it.
No. Oh.
Don't
Let's
even
take a
white.
Look at the, I know. Let's take a look at the extremist list. American white? Holy fuck.
Hey, you guys laughing, but that's true.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's so true and so ridiculous, we got to laugh
to
maintain
laugh.
Your sanity.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been an attack on white males for quite some time, even before the Tiki torches in South Carolina.
Even before COVID, there was an attack on white boys. Going back years ago, trying to ingrain them with a lack of cultural inculcation about American values, making them second class to the girls and the women's movement years and years ago, before even COVID got here.
Yeah.
Now, yeah. So this has been part of the Communist Manifesto and who's that other one?
Alinsky.
Alinsky. The Saul Alinsky method of warfare.
Rules for radicals.
Yeah. So.
I mean, I got a video on my Gab account that says Aryan Purpose. It's just a video of from Vikings and everything. And that's racist. That makes me a neo-Nazi. I'm a white supremacist Nazi just for having that video. I haven't even quoted that, the ADL. Get the hell out of here.
Wow. Well, Joe, when is your primary coming up?
Well, early voting started today, actually. I was at the polls today, actually. It was real slow. Only about 10 people I talked to. That's about it. I was there for about 5 hours. And then I had three people were supposed to show up. I had two other people go to another poll. And hand out my cards and
you know, flyers. They, you know, they only got handed out about 20 of them. So I think I'm going to hold off. When, you know, so I got to pay these people, you know. I'm paying them, you know. I'm thinking I'll just go by myself tomorrow and hand out a few. I think it's better working the phones, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think, you know, you can get more personal with people than waiting because they're in a hurry to vote and get the hell out of there, you know.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and then direct mailing. I mailed out another 50 flyers today. I got another 100 going out tomorrow. I think I'll stop mailing probably next on probably Monday or Tuesday, stop the mail, because then March 5th is coming the end. So, and then just pray, man, pray. I don't know. Like I said, I work the phones, and the feedback I get is positive, but I hear a lot of rumors out there. You know, I'm like, I went on the Nextdoor app, posted something, and somebody said, this isn't the Joe Gibson that's got a convicted felon that's running for a House of Representatives, and bam, they just slaughtered me, you know? Oh, you're a scumbag. You're a dirtbag. You don't got no business being on here. You're a Nazi, you know? So.
I hope when you call your constituents on the phone, you open up with, hi, I'm Joe Gibson. I'm the guy that was in prison, and I'm the guy that put away when I was working with the DEA, 37 of the scumbags that are probably working against me, you know? I'm that guy.
Yeah.
I hope.
Well, I'm waiting, like I said, also, you know, I talked to a lawyer, and he says, you know, you got to see what the election, because the election, so, you know, if you win the election, you got no case, you know? So, you know, I mean, if I lose, then I could use that as the damages there, because I have to prove damages, you know? What harm did they cause by printing this crap about me, you know? So.
Hey, yeah. You know what? If you lose, you might get rich.
yeah, you know? So now I'll run for governor next time. But, you know, it's just, you know, I want to win. Look, I'll be honest with you. I'm all in on this time. I mean, I've put a lot of work, a lot of hours, a lot of money, you know. So I'm all in on this, and I really want to win. I just don't know what else I can do to try to convince people to vote for me.
Now you got all the big boys afraid of you.
Yeah, and I got more airtime, like the Alaskan said, more airtime than anybody, more media time than any candidate, even the governor's race. So, you know.
Is that somebody asked you for?
Hey, I got an idea. I got an idea, Joe. Maybe we can get Bonnie Willis to indict you. That'll get you plenty of press time.
There you go, huh?
Oh, man. Yeah, you go against casinos.
There's no such thing. There's no such thing as bad publicity, usually, right?
That's what they say.
Yeah, they say that.
Unless, yeah, I'm going against a casino. The money changers.
Unless, of course,
you're
Bonnie Willis. Yep.
They didn't like
right.
that.
No, they
yeah,
wouldn't
they
like would. That. That's where the money's at.
Yeah.
They can do a
but everybody supposedly is supporting me because of that from what I hear. I mean, I scan and I look at other people's Facebook pages that are not my friends but that live in my area, and they were all monitoring what was they were talking. I was reading their posts, and they were all talking about me, you know. So you know, like they were concerned, and, you know, they were, you know, that I was going to remain on the ballot, and, you know, they wanted me on the ballot, and they wanted to support me. So I've been told I got a lot of support out there that's like, quiet support, you know, like they want me in there. So, see what happens. I don't know. We'll see what happens, man. If I get in there, like I said, I'm going to make, boy, oh, boy, there's going to be some changes. I'm going to be lighting things up, shaking a lot of heads.
That's what they need.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Well,
I tell you what, me and Bianchi were talking today, and I said to him, I said, man, these talking heads on all these network news and cable news, they sitting there lying to us, telling us all this bullshit for the last 8 years. I'll tell you what, their time is coming. They think they're safe. Their time is coming because they're the
That's
big
right.
problem. They're a big problem.
Got that right. Well, look, Joe, you got to remember, Joe, if you do get elected, When you come in there, you're going to be a bad venture when you first get in there. Now, if you want some idea as to how to get inordinate influence as a relative bad venture, look at what Matt Gaetz did in the House of Representatives. You need to study his tactic and maybe figure out how you can adopt them to North Carolina.
Okay, that's an idea, yeah.
You got to get on committee. That's the key, is getting on committees.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard the same thing where, you know, getting on committees and everything. And that's the goal anyway, because you're not going to get any legislation passed without being on a committee anyway, you know?
You just be a backbencher. You just have one vote like everybody else has got.
Yep. Right about that, man.
We got 4 minutes. Lorianne, are you are still around? I think you are. I think that's your number up there.
I sure am.
Tell everybody about Friday show and Sunday show.
Yeah, tomorrow, despite everybody's belief that it's Saturday today, it actually is Thursday. And so tomorrow night is Conservative Nation Media, Robert's show, and I co-host. So tune in tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time. And then, of course, Sunday night is my show, Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne. Same time, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Tune in, and we'll cover the latest news of the week and what's going on, and dive into whatever topics end up taking over the conversation. We had a great show last week for Super Bowl Sunday. Quite a good turnout. I was happy with that. So hopefully the gang gathers back again on Sunday.
There you go. And Joseph?
Oh, yeah. Restoring Our Republic, Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Where is everybody? Nobody's been coming out lately.
I don't know.
Nah, we're in a whole house pretty much.
Tuesday night.
That is always Joe's refrain. Where's Sarge? Where's Joe? Where's Lorianne? Where's Bianchi? Where is everybody? And then everybody's always there. Except
now,
I come and I go.
I would have called in the Laurie show during the Super Bowl. But because I had to work on some things, I had to record the Super Bowl, and then I have to watch it and avoid listening to anybody say anything, so I can watch it as though I don't know what the outcome is. And it'd be just like watching it in real time, except I could speed through the commercial. And I knew there was no way I could call into the show and someone would not give away the goddamn score of the game. So I had to avoid the show, not because I didn't want to, because if I wanted to watch the game with a sense of suspense, I had to stay away from the show.
We would have screwed you so bad. We'd have told you.
You sure would have. But as it was, I got unpleasantly surprised by the Chiefs' victory. Damn it.
Yeah. I'm with you there.
Well, I'll tell you what, Sarge. I watched the game, and I had to say that if it was scored on the quality of play that was out there on the field, I'd have had to give it all to the 49ers.
Yeah, but that goddamn Mahomes, he's a fucking magician, man. He's a wizard. I don't know how the fuck he does what he does. But he does it. I got to give it to him. He's just a wizard. I mean, Purdy played well. McCaffrey played well. Kittle played well. Debo Samuels played well. I mean, the whole team was playing well. The defense was superb, you know. And this magician Mahomes pulled it out of a hat again.
Yes, he did.
Well, the way I saw the game was the 49ers were in Las Vegas to play, and the Chiefs were in Los Angeles.
Well, I tell you, they're the damned team. You got eight. You can't take
nothing
away from them, man.
It was rigged. Man, Taylor Swift, Kelsey.
I don't know about that.
They got all the late shows. Hey, listen, how could they have the late shows then recorded already with them as the winner? How could they have that? The commercials all drawn up, ready to go. Come on. They didn't have the show yet. They didn't have
the
Super Bowl yet.
I think they actually
prepare for both eventualities to save time. That's what they do. I mean, you know, they plan it that way. So one of the teams is going to win, so they have it set up both ways.
Yeah, they got it both ways, all right, in everybody's pocket. Well,
you know, it's just like, you know, it's just like every well-known person, okay, that's out there. Everybody has already got their obituary written. You know, so it's ready to pull out as soon as that person dies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I tell you, I Taylor Swift irritates the hell out of me so damn much. I wanted the Chiefs to lose. I swear to God, I'm getting so goddamn sick of this Taylor Swift nonsense. I was saying, please let them lose, but nope, wasn't to be.
They were saying that Mahomes' wife was jealous as hell of Taylor Swift, and the brother, he got shunned about 3 or 4 times and it pissed him off. He tried to.
I know. I just hate to see all that soap opera dragged into football, man. Football's bad enough with all the woke crap and damn kneeling and whatnot. And now they got to introduce all this domestic shit into there. Man, it just ruins a good sport, great sport. I can't stand it.
Yeah.
Well, some of us girls like it, okay?
Yeah, that's about the size of it right there. They already got those quarterbacks in bubble wrap, for God's sake.
Oh,
you know, a defensive lineman can't hardly touch them. They might as well put them in tutus and ballerina shoes.
Oh, I know. Remember years ago how they used to hit them, man? The court. You look at the games from the 80s when they used to whack the quarterback.
Man, are you kidding?
Man, just think about it.
Now, Joe Namath, when he played at Auburn, he was a scrambling quarterback. That guy could scramble every bit as good as Mahomes or anybody else. But he got hit so bad around them knees, he couldn't do that anymore. But you go look at Joe Namath when he was playing in college. He was as good a scrambler quarterback as anybody's ever been in the game.
That's right.
But he took them hits, man. He couldn't do it anymore.
He went to Alabama, not Auburn. Alabama.
Right. Alabama.
Did you ever notice how they took Joe Namath out of the game after they won the Super Bowl?
What do you mean took him out?
He ran into the tunnel, didn't he?
Huh?
Didn't he run down the tunnel? He ran into the tunnel. No, waving his finger in the air. We're number one.
No, after he won the Super Bowl and he got all the glory and all of this and I'm the greatest and, you know, we won because of what I did, blah, 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 you know, during the off season.
Oh, okay.
Did you see what they did to him in the next season?
No, what did he do?
His front line, who got no respect from Namath after they won the Super Bowl.
Oh, okay.
They were missing blocks all the time. And Joe was on his ass most of the games.
Yeah, he was a drop back in the pocket quarterback, and he had to get rid of the ball quick. That's how he made his game.
Broadway Joe, that's what his nickname is.
He's a drop-back quarterback. But like I said, it's kind of a shot. You know, tell him how great he could have been if he still had that scrambling ability he had when he was in college, because he had that rifle arm. He was really accurate.
Remember that nylon
commercial
he did when he was in nylons?
You know, Joe Namath, even with his knees the way they were, he could have gone on to raid up into the GOATs, but he fucked over his line with
Broadway Joe
accolades and stuff, and his line just said, well, fuck it, you're the man, Joe, you're the man, we didn't do nothing.
You mean that Broadway Joe stuff, right? But look, man, Joe Namath made the AFL. You gotta admit, though, he was the right guy at the right time to get the AFL credibility and bring it into the National Football League and the Super Bowl. I mean, You gotta give that to Joe Namath. He kind of made that happen.
He did make it happen.
So, you know, I mean, yeah, you got to remember, at that time, people weren't ready for that kind of athlete like Joe Namath and Muhammad Ali. They just didn't, that wasn't the kind of athlete the American people had in mind when they thought of the kind of athlete they would look up to. They look up to guys who had humility, you know, maybe Mickey Mantle, Roger Maris type, you know, Johnny Unitas type, you know, Johnny Unitas types, guys like that who were modest and unassuming.
He's ranked number 70 in stats. He's 27,000 yards, 27,663 yards he passed for. That's ranked number 70 of all time.
Yeah, but he did it in a relatively short period of time, though. I mean, he didn't play that long.
He didn't.
He wasn't like Tom Brady or anything. He wasn't like Tom Brady or anything. He didn't have that kind of longevity.
No.
No.
So, he's a genuine. I mean, he's a genuine Hall of Famer. I mean, you got to give him that much, right?
Oh, yeah. I do.
I mean, he's a genuine Hall of Famer. Now, I'm not saying he's the greatest quarterback of all time because he wasn't that. But he brought more to the game than just his stats. He brought credibility for the AFL. And that would be the even... That was
He played 140 games, but that was an even bigger contribution
than was his stats.
Yeah, but Sarge, he threw for 173 touchdowns and 220 interceptions.
Yeah, but like I said, I didn't say he was the greatest quarterback of all time. I said what he brought to the game was of more importance than his stats. And it was. He brought the kind of acclaim that the country was going through kind of a metamorphosis culturally, and he kind of rode in on it. He changed the concept of the professional athlete as it had been to what it is now, for better or for worse. He helped to bring that about.
Well, he completed 50% of the passing, you know.
He did a lot of Muhammad Ali, too, because...
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
He told everybody he was going to beat Baltimore, and nobody believed him, and bet everybody put their money on Baltimore. And, there was a lot of money lost.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that change you brought about was necessarily good, but there was no doubt it was hugely significant. And Joe Namath was a big part of that.
Yeah.
Broadway Joe. Did you see him on the show?
You got to admit, you know, like him and Walt, for guys like him and Walt Frazier in basketball, guys like that, they were kind of fun. You got to admit, they were, you know,
made
it was fun watching Joe Namath and all his antics. It was fun.
Interested. They made me very interested in basketball back in those days before the Bulls and the Pistons. I started watching, you know, I didn't like basketball all that much. Then you got Walt Frazier, like you said. Oh, man. You had
Celtics
to watch
and the Lakers. And that's when I started watching.
Yeah. Larry Bird. Oh, hell.
Larry Bird.
Magic Johnson.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
I followed him when he signed with Milwaukee. And his name was Lou Alcindor at the time. And then he changed it and got traded to L.A.
Remember Pistol Pete Maravich?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What a great ball player.
Yeah, he was a ball handler, man. That guy could handle a ball like a Harlem Globetrotter.
Went to the Celtics, and they were interviewing, you know, players. You can see it online after they retired. And they were talking about Pistol Pete. And Larry Bird said, I wish I could do a quarter of what Pistol Pete could do with a basketball.
Oh, man, he was something to watch. Wow.
You know how
I like basketball. I didn't even like basketball, but I got to admit, I like watching the tricks he could do with a basketball.
Yeah.
You know how he used to practice? His father would drive the car, and he'd be hanging out the window. Bouncing the ball on the pavement as he drove.
That's pretty. That explains it, huh?
Oh, that's good.
From the right side of the car and the left side of the car, right?
He could do it
yeah,
all
I guess.
With the basketball. He in a hell of a shot. He took a little college all the way to the finals. And
oh man, and, he, it, and the layup. Watching that guy do a layup was like watching a ballet or something, you know.
This or those passes. No, they, you know, Larry Bird was awesome at passing the ball. But
oh
man,
yeah,
you got a pistol out there. You better have your eyes open because if you might get the ball right in your face if you're not paying attention.
Any direction he could pass.
You know what happened to the Celtics?
Looking in any direction.
Yeah.
You know what happened to them in 1986 when they lost Bias? Glenn Bias.
Oh, I remember.
Glenn Bias. Yeah, they said he was going to be the next Michael Jordan.
Yep. That's right.
That was a real shock.
They would have went over the top, the Celtics. They would have went on and win probably three or four more championships, I bet.
That's right.
Yeah, Bias was a damn good ball player. That was a shock to the system, man. When you see a young player like that just die, it just kills me.
Yeah.
They got their whole life ahead of them. And as before,
he had
people hanging around them.
Yeah.
God, now they show players coming, and there's like, you know, fur coats, everybody, like bodyguards all around them. You know, that's where that's where the money goes, man. They got
entourages, man. The entourages they carry around.
Yeah, and they think it's gonna last forever.
Yep. Glory is fleeting. As
the
saying goes, glory is fleeting.
I can't remember his name. He played for Philadelphia. What was his name? Damn. He was damn good.
Dr. J?
No.
Iverson? Allen Iverson?
Yeah. Iverson. Guy. Thank you. Yeah. He was a good ball player. And he left the league. He was broke, dead broke, and that's a shame. Just a damn shame. But it doesn't last forever.
Nope.
And they do. They're changing the sports like baseball. You can't barrel the catcher. You can't go in hard at second base. You know, might as well play kickball.
Man. They would never let Ty Cobb play today, now would they?
No.
I think Ty Cobb put spikes on his goddamn cleats, man. He didn't have just regular cleats.
No,
that dude was coming in with a tent that I hurt you, man, coming in second, third base.
They said he sharpened his damn cleats. Sharpened them.
They were like
Yankees during those days. How good were the Yankees? That's all you hear about is the pinstripes back in those days, you know?
The Yankees, my first game was Tigers and the Yankees in 1960 with Mickey Mantle, Roger Maris, Yogi Berra. Let's see, who else was
61. On there? Remember, 61 homers Roger Maris hit. Was that 61? I think he did in 61, didn't he?
And in 1961, he hit 61, and Norm Cash, first baseman for the Tigers, hit 361. And I seen Maris hit his 43rd or something home run in right field. And, of course, everybody knew he was on a tear because back then, 40 home runs, man, you're a home run slugger.
Big deal.
Nowadays.
Hey, man, well, that's still a big deal if you hit 40 home runs even today. But ain't nobody going to beat the splendid Splinter's record of 400. That will stand, I think, unbroken till time immemorial. Hitting 400 in the big leagues, nah, that's just not going to happen again.
George Brett hit 41. He was hitting 398.
Came close, but he didn't make it.
No, he like 360 or something like that, 370. No,
Ted Williams did all that despite his major league career being interrupted twice for military service, where he almost got killed in both wars.
I tell you what, if he got to play those five years, I'll tell you what, he would have every record in baseball.
No two ways about it.
There's no question.
I mean, can you imagine that, man? The guy's a World War II veteran, and they call him back up for Korea and send him back out. He damn near got killed, you know, shot down by flak because he was flying a fighter bomber
off an aircraft carrier, and he got hit by flak. He had to bring that ship back in. It was on fire, smoking. The engine's about ready to quit. Landing gear wouldn't come down. He had to crash, landed on the runway, and he barely got away without being killed.
Okay, hey, listen. I've been listening to it to this and everything. The one thing I forgot is or didn't catch was who are we talking about?
Right now we're talking about Ted Williams.
Ted Williams.
We're talking
okay,
about a lot
yeah,
of people.
Okay. Okay. I that's kind of where I thought we were going, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're talking about a lot of other people though. Roger Maris, Mickey Mantle, Lou Alcindor, Walt Frazier.
Well, I know that.
You know, Ivan Iverson.
I know that.
Joe Namath.
I know that. It just when you got the Williams and you were talking about interrupted in the two wars, it was like, oh shit, I missed the name. That's all.
Ah. Oh yeah, okay. Yeah. Ted Williams, man, was really. I mean, really. And like I said, he wasn't just doing shows for the USO. He was a fighter pilot. He wasn't just doing USO shows or anything. He was right in the thick of it.
I'm trying to think of his name. You know, my memory is really shot anymore, but he's a great actor. You guys would all. He was a pilot, too. And what the
Jimmy
hell
Stewart?
Yes.
Jimmy Stewart?
Jimmy Stewart.
Jimmy Stewart was not just a great pilot. He was also a squadron commander. He flew 35 missions over Europe. He was cited repeatedly for his excellent leadership that led not only to the success of a mission, but keeping down the casualties. He was a commander of a B-24 bomber squadron.
He was also
the enemy of Mr. Potter. I'm not Mr. Potter. Now, hang on.
Well, that's, you would never think for the city council. But I tell you one thing. After he came back from the war, the kind of roles he played after the war, for the most part, were not the kind of roles he played before the war, which were kind of lighthearted, man-about-town, comedy kind of things. After the war, he was playing these hard, bitten-ass roles that kind of suited, because he was actually suffering from PTSD. This guy saw a lot of combat and a lot of his friends go down in those heavy bombers, and it really affected him. It really did.
And you got to remember, hey, Sarge, let's not forget, he stayed in the military. He stayed in the reserve.
Yep.
And
he became a major general. Major general.
Yeah.
He was a patriot. No two ways about it. He didn't make a big deal out of it either.
Nope.
You know? I mean, if you ever read, I got this book just came out about him, because he's always one of my favorite actors. I really loved him in Anatomy of a Murder. I don't know if you ever saw that. He played this small-town lawyer defending this army officer from a charge of murder. That is one of the best goddamn courtroom movies I have ever seen, ever. And he was just so goddamn good in that role. But anyway, I read this book about his service in World War II, and I'm telling you, man, he saw the shit. He was deep in it. You know what the odds of survival were for a heavy bomber crewman who flew 30 fucking missions over Nazi Germany? He made it. He was a fugitive from law averages, believe me.
Yeah.
And his men to a man said he was a great commanding officer.
Yep.
They're gone now, these people. They're gone.
Who's gone?
Dust in the wind.
Who?
Dead. All these people that you're talking about.
All these great people. Oh, yeah. It's a shame, too. We had a lot to learn from them. We had a lot to learn from people like that. It's a shame that they're gone and they're not appreciated the way they should be. Now we've got these self-absorbed, narcissistic little jerks up here giving us lectures all the fucking time.
They're racist. They're racist, these people. They, you know, the people of yesterday, our history. You know, we got to forget this history.
Yeah, we got to wipe them out of history. They got to erase them. We got to cancel them. We have to, you know, tear down the statues and carry on.
Yep, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, racist. That's racist. That cartoon should not be on TV. You know, it's all that crap.
Yeah.
Well, the only modern day person that would be able to claim at least a page in the book would be Pat Tillman.
Yeah, Pat Tillman was a great man. Although it also must be said, he was quite disaffected with the war. Although he always did his duty,
But you read his letters home, he was very disaffected with the way they were conducting the war. I mean, he was really disillusioned. And you got to remember, Pat Tillman didn't just go in the army. He went in and went, became a ranger. He was the he was in a ranger unit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, he was in. He knew he was going to be in the sharp end, and he was. And he was really disillusioned with the way they were running the war. And, you know, and of course the Army had to cover up the way he died. They didn't tell the truth about it. It was a friendly fire incident, and they covered it all up.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did.
But, well, that doesn't detract from his heroism, because he was a genuine hero, and I think deserved to be remembered well for what he gave up and gave to his country. I mean, I don't think there's much greater love you can have than that, even though he was disillusioned with the conduct of the war.
Well, I want to ask you, Sarge, okay, when you're talking about the conduct of the war as seen from a grunt, okay, and here's my question to you. When you were driving your tank, did you have any reservations about the conduct of the war that you were
all
in?
All the time. We talked about it every day almost. Well, every other day almost.
Yep. So what Tillman was saying and everything else, I put credence in it, but I don't put all that much credence in it because of the fact that every guy who has his boot on the ground in enemy territory getting shot at has the same fucking thoughts.
No,
is this any way to conduct a war?
Yeah, that's true too, I guess. But we will get sick of it, you know.
Some people like being serving. You know, some people enjoy it. You got some psychopaths too that love killing.
But it's not really the killing. It's the idea of doing the killing and getting killed futilely for stupid, no goddamn good reasons, man. I mean, like I said, we would get tired of getting, like, you know, we'd be fighting some North Vietnamese unit. We knew what it was because we'd search the bodies after the battle was over, and we could see what unit they were with. The ones that we really had to tangle with was the 324B North Vietnamese Division. And we'd get in firefights with them, chop them up real bad, chase them to the border, Laos, and then they go across the border. We couldn't go any further, and then they rest and refit, and we'd have to fight them again 2 months later, same unit, instead of finishing them off. We had the chance, and that used to just irritate the fuck out of us.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
it really did.
It would be the same goddamn thing as Hamburger Hill. When they spent a week trying to take that fucking hill, the guys finally take it and get all the Kong off of it, and then after they do that, they pull them all off the hill.
Well, the reason that battle was so tough was because they weren't just fighting Viet Cong; they were fighting North Vietnamese Army. When you fight Vietnamese Army, they will stick out and slug it out with you in a prolonged slog. Viet Cong would like hit and run, but the NVA would stand there and fight, and they put up a fight on Hamburger Hill.
Yeah, well, Sarge, it really doesn't matter whether it was the Kong or the North Vietnamese. If the guy's downrange from you and shooting at you, it didn't matter who he was, really.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, when you think about the way in Vietnam, they make a big deal out of the fact that there were 550,000 troops at the fighting in South Vietnam, U.S. soldiers. But you got to remember, the ones who actually are at the sharp end and engage the enemy, there weren't much more. I'm talking about people who are in armor, infantry, and artillery. And let's face it, infantry holds the ground. You got to have infantry to keep ground when you take it. And there were never much more than, at any one time, 55 to 60,000 of those troops who are actually engaging the enemy. So that's why we couldn't hold any ground. We fight. They were worrying about body count. They weren't interested in trying to hold the ground.
Well,
they were just trying to pile up bodies.
Yeah, well, Sarge, I understand
exactly what you're saying, and I have the same attitude with it. Well, it's a hell of a way to conduct a fucking war, but, you know, still, you know, to go take an objective, and after you get the enemy run out of the objective, turn around and abandon your objective to let them come back.
Yeah, exactly it. Exactly it. And they were prepared to take the kind of casualties they took because they knew that we couldn't kill them fast enough to outnumber the enough people they could replace. You ought to read the diaries of the North Vietnamese whose bodies we searched and what they were lamenting, the way they were getting killed and they were dying and their prospects of living. And they would say things in their diary like born in the North to die in the South because they had such a fatalistic view of their chances of survival. It was almost sad to read what they were writing in their diaries of the miseries they were facing. I mean, it was God awful. I think it was bad for us. It was just God awful for them. But somehow they were determined to persevere. Like I said, we weren't going to hold the ground.
You know, it really doesn't matter which side you're on. But a soldier is a soldier. They're the same on both sides.
Oh man, I got they had guts. Man, I got to give it to them. They had guts.
Let me tell you something. War is a bitch. Look how many died in this French war with Napoleon. Heck, you had what? You had at least three times damn near many that were died in the Civil War here in the United States, and they were fighting with muskets and riding horses.
Wait a minute. You want to talk about the French. Now, people make fun of the French and all that, and their surrender monkeys and all this other jab. But let me tell you something. The French at Verdun in the First World War sacrificed like few armies in history ever have. And then, and the Germans were trying to bleed them white, and they were determined not to lose Verdun. It was just not even really a that important strategic target, but they were saying they shall not pass, and we're not going to let them do it. And the horrific casualties they took in that battle were beyond reckoning or even imagining. They had more dead in that one battle than the United States had, the Union side had in all the Civil War. The French had more dead at Verdun in that fight. So the French know what it's like to sacrifice, and they've done it. And they did it throughout the war. In fact, they had so many damn sacrifices, they mutinied in 1917. It's just good. It's a good thing for the French. The Germans didn't find out about it.
Hell, look at the Russians. They uprooted factories and moved them further into Siberia in the heart of the winter. You had permafrost that went down at least 4 feet into the ground, and they was uprooting factories.
Yeah, it's amazing they could do that. That was one of the most amazing logistical feats in the history of warfare, to move your goddamn major industrial factories, what, 400 or 500 miles east of the Hero Mountains. I mean, that is something. Man, you know, the country could do shit like that. You know, they're determined to win a war.
And it was women women was out there, too. They got to have some of the most durable women ever, the don style of female.
Them Russian women, man, they could work like oxen. Shit. And it looked like they did, too. Honest to God. But, yeah, like I said, a country that really is determined to prevail will do things like that. And you got to wonder, sometimes I got to wonder about this one. I mean, I wouldn't have thought that about the country that fought World War II, because clearly they were prepared to and did make that sort of commitment to the fight. But the way this country's fractured now, I just don't know if that could be true today.
You know what it takes today. You got to have people today speaking up and talking about the reliving of the World War I, the reliving of Guadalcanal, the reliving of Midway. People need to start talking about that shit and say, well, look like we're going to have to do this all over again. Because if you don't, they're going to run over your ass. They're going to run over the hell bent of it now. There needs to be a Nuremberg 2 and a Nuremberg 3.
Group of rich criminals.
Well, right now people are talking about, you know, the possibility that Europeans are supposed to defend themselves. And now
Trump made those, they attribute these alleged remarks to him. Well, not, he did say some things that I think were intemperate, but I think nonetheless they needed to be said. Countries in NATO aren't paying their fair share. They're looking at, militaries are expensive, and these NATO countries look at the upkeep of, look at NATO as kind of a welfare for their military needs, and that way they don't have to spend that money on their population and their unsupportable welfare state. So they've been getting by without having to pay their share, and Donald Trump is just trying to remind them that they're supposed to, and they definitely should if they expect us to send our people over there to shed their blood in their our blood in their defense. But, man, the Europeans are getting away with murder in this regard.
Hell, Sarge, Australia Navy used to take off on the weekend. Leave Friday afternoon, come back Monday. What kind of crazy shit is that?
But they're unionized. Look what happens when you unionize your armed forces. I mean, a lot of them NATO countries got you, the Netherlands, Holland, Belgium. Their armies are unionized. Contracts where they can't do certain work at certain times. You can't do that in a wartime. It's 24-hour-a-day proposition.
Yeah, if they was in war, they'd call 10 o'clock coffee break, stop shooting.
No, that shit ain't going to fly. They're just lucky for them, though. I guess that's an incentive for them to stay out of wars, which is not necessarily a bad thing, because they know they ain't ready to fight no war, not for real. If that's the kind of incentive that keeps them out of war, well, I guess that's not a bad thing. But still, if they ever have to fight one, they're going to regret it.
Again,
yeah. How many times we got to pull the chestnuts out of the fire?
Oh, yeah. Hold on, guys. I got to play this. It's only a couple minutes, I think. Just hang on. I don't even know if it'll play.
In America, the answer will shock you. Wait till the end.
Hey, want to take a guess on the most corrupt sport in the country, NFL or NBA? I'll give you a few clues. 36 have been found guilty of spousal abuse. 7 are guilty of fraud. 19 of them have written bad checks. And 71 of them can't qualify for a credit card because of their own bad credit. 3 are guilty of assault. 14 drug-related charges. 8 have been convicted of shoplifting. 21 are currently involved in lawsuits. And 84 have been involved in a drunk driving incident. So the answer? Neither. These statistics are represented by the 435 members of the United States Congress. If you're waiting on someone in Washington to fix the mess in our country, stop and go read your Bible, because we need Jesus.
Numbers don't lie.
All right. That was from Kathy. Okay.
Well, now. Well, we know about our Congress. I mean, look at the people who vote for them. That's people who vote for them are like birds of a feather flocking together, I guess.
I guess so.
A lot of them know this about them, and they don't care.
I would like to know about the slush fund that they use to pay people off. I would love to know who has been using that.
Well, it's available, but it's like kind of like pulling teeth to get the information out of them. You got to put in an FOIA request.
It
can be very difficult to get that information out of them.
Yeah, I would love to know. I would really love to know. I really would like to know, because that's our money. They're using our money.
Mm. Yeah, it is.
Paying all these people off and getting the signed, I don't know what it is, a waiver or whatever in the hell it is.
Well, we saw how these people think our money's supposed to be utilized with this border deal. Billions to Ukraine, millions to illegal aliens. Not a penny for veterans or for people who genuinely need mental treatment in all the big cities across the United States.
No money to combat fentanyl at the border.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they care about us, but look at what they care about everybody else. That's their priority. Ukraine is their priority. Their borders are sacrosanct. Ours, not so much.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if he's still on. Ron, are you doing a show? I forgot to ask him earlier. Don't know if he is or not. Oh, by the way, spring training starts next week. Just want people to know that are true baseball fans.
Yeah, it makes you realize time flies, doesn't it? Just yesterday it was football season.
Yeah.
By the way, there's a spring. Hey, the USFL is going to be playing in the spring, ain't they?
Yeah.
The USFL is back. It was the XFL. Now I think they merged with the USFL, and it's USFL now.
Yeah, I want to check that out. It looked pretty good.
Some of the XFL games are pretty good. I mean, they were pretty good matchups, and I saw some pretty good games.
Did you see the girls? Football league, they've got, they wear a top, of course, that's all, this is to cover their boobs, and they got like those bathing suit bottoms that go up the crack of
their
ass.
Oh, the lingerie football league?
Is that what
it's
called?
Holy yeah, I think that's the one he's talking about.
Oh, I definitely want her to snap me a ball. But my God, these girls hit like hell. You know, they're skinny. Most of them are skinny. But boy, they got their pads on and they are.
Man, I saw a couple of games. No, I saw a couple of games, man. Some of the chicks were really built. I mean, they weren't fat either. They were built. I mean, they were thick and they were pretty strong looking.
Yeah.
At least
yeah.
the ones I saw. They weren't skinny.
No, well, I'm talking about the wide receivers, a tight end, and a running backs.
Well, the running backs were the ones that looked pretty solid to me. You know, they weren't skinny.
I wasn't looking.
I mean, they looked like they'd been in the weight room and they, you know, pushing a little iron around, and you know, they could move fairly good for women. I mean, you know, they weren't up to NFL speed or anything like that. But, I mean, competing against other women, yeah, I could see how formidable they could be.
Yeah, and it looked like there were a lot of people on the stands, and it's only because, you know, they're dressed kind of flimsy, but they could play some ball.
They have skills. They have skills. I watched a couple of those games, and I got to admit, I watch it more for the pulchritude than I did for the play. But nonetheless, after being drawn by the pulchritude, I saw the play wasn't half bad. So I stuck around and watched a couple of the games.
Yeah, I enjoy, you know, the gals basketball. I like it in college. I like watching that.
Yeah, WNBA, though, is kind of a joke, man. I don't know if you ever seen WNBA is almost a clown show sometimes.
They just whine.
They whine about they get paid the way the men get paid, and their play isn't up to caliber. It just isn't.
No, and they were so underpaid. Well, they wouldn't even have a league if it wasn't for the...
If it weren't for the NBA, it's what subsidizes them.
That's right.
You ever see how empty the stands are? Nobody wants to come and watch them.
And did you, the guy from Outkick has offered $1 million to the women, to the winner of the best WNBA team against the best high school team.
They don't have a chance.
And
they wouldn't have a chance.
They don't want no part of that.
They know they don't have a chance against the best. I don't think they have a chance against the worst high school football team in the country.
Basketball.
They don't want to get embarrassed like the soccer team did.
Oh,
15-year-old boys beat them. 15-year-old boys.
Yeah.
And they didn't just squeak by. The women only score 1 point. They'd be like 9-1 or 8-1. And in soccer, that's an astronomical score.
Yeah.
Yeah, and these are 15-year-old boys. They're playing against adult women.
Oh, yeah. You know,
they weren't even out of adolescence yet.
That's the best.
They're not just adult women. They are adult elite women soccer players.
That's more precise. Absolutely. Yes.
You're right.
Much more precise. Yes, that's true. They're elite athletes. They're world-class Olympic athletes and professionals. They were Olympic athletes before they turned professional. They're a professional women's soccer team, and they cannot beat a high school boys' soccer team. But they're supposed to be paid the same as men. Yeah, that makes sense.
But just wait until the trans men invade the damn football, the women's football, that lingerie football.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Yeah.
I don't wanna wait for that. I'll let you do that. I'm gonna go somewhere else. I'm not about to wait for that. Jeez.
No, we don't want that.
we don't really want that at all. I mean, you see now Bud Light is trying to atone for Dylan Mulvaney, don't you? They done gone hyper masculine now.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
There are other ways.
Sponsoring all kinds of different people that are comedians. They're sponsoring them. They're sponsoring everybody.
Yeah, they're sponsoring men who actually look like they live on six packs.
Yeah, but you want to know something else that came out of that?
What?
There's a lot of other corporations out there that are following suit with Bud Light, getting rid of the world. They done saw the writing on the wall.
Yeah, like we said, they're actually picking men who actually look like they use the products that they're trying to sell instead of some Audrey Hepburn wannabe.
Yeah.
Jeez. That was really an insult to Audrey Hepburn. Audrey Hepburn was a very lovely woman. And here's this freak trying to look like her.
Yeah, she was.
Audrey Hepburn was a lovely and elegant woman. And here's Dylan Mulvaney comes along. A parody of what she actually was. Name shame.
Wow. Now, where's everybody going after the show? Is there another show to hit?
Well, there's always shows to hit.
Well,
which
ones are the good ones?
They're going to bed.
Oh, now, Bianchi, no, you're not going to bed. Come on.
Hey, we just all found out you lied. We just all found out you lied to us, making us think it was Saturday, and it's Thursday. Damn, man.
Yeah, you moved us forward. You moved us forward in time, 24 hours.
Hey,
it didn't have
Bianchi's
to put too
fault.
Much effort to it.
It's Bianchi's fault.
You did have me myself. When I saw the show pop up in my email, I was going, you know, I'm looking at in my email looking to see who's on tonight, and I saw Blog Talk up. Okay, good. Pop it, and I see this is Donnie's show. What day is today? God damn! Did I miss something?
Very unusual. That is true.
Yeah.
True.
Now, if you would have been, if it would have been like Ron Reck or somebody like that, who
yeah.
has a very firm, I'm not scheduled for any time, I'll just do it when I want to,
yeah.
then it wouldn't have fucked me up so much. But no, you know, you're one of the regular straight up guys that has their show on Saturday.
Yeah, that's true.
except for your what is it, your Sunday show, your UAW show?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is kind of screwed. You're right about that.
Well, I tell you, today is Friday. Oh, that means another episode of Masters of the Air is coming out tonight. So when the show is over today, I'm going to watch the new episode of Masters of the Air. I don't know if y'all have seen that or not. That isn't.
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, man, it's good. Like I said, one thing I got to give old Steven Spielberg and Tom Hanks, they might be liberals, but they sure do justice to the greatest generation. You know, a band of brothers, of the Pacific, and now this thing Matches of the Air. I mean, it's really pretty well done.
Now, where is Masters of the Air shown? What network?
It's on Apple TV. You know, it covers the 8th Air Force, you know, the 8th Air Force in the early days of the strategic bombing campaign against Germany.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's really, really well done.
This is for people who knows baseball. Hold on just a second. I got a question. Dick Allen. Everybody remember Dick Allen? Played for Philadelphia and a few other teams. Damn good ball player.
Yeah, I remember him. He wore glasses.
Yeah, he sure did. He's the only player I can remember. Frank Howard wore glasses. Big old Frank Howard for the Washington Senators. He wore glasses.
Yeah, he's a big, strong guy, too.
He's a big boy. Now, Dick Allen, somebody sent this to me. It's a picture of Louis Tiant. Willie Horton played left field for the Tigers in 68 World Series. And Dick Allen, it says Dick Allen belongs in the Hall of Fame. And you damn right he does. That dude could hit.
He was already in the Hall of Fame, man.
I really did, too.
Always in the All-Star games.
Yeah, he's a good ball player.
Damn right he was. He's a great one.
You know what? If the Negro League, I follow a lot and try to watch what I can on the Negro League. I'm telling you what, there have been a lot of white players sitting on their ass at home with their baseball gloves that they let them boys play. I'm telling you.
I don't think Dick Allen was in the Negro League. I don't think he was. He was in on the tail end of it.
No, he wasn't, but I'm just the old players from the Negro League, which just amazing ball players. Just amazing.
Oh, Josh Gibson, man, was really something.
You know what? I think he would have broke Babe Ruth's record. I really do.
But you know why they didn't pick, you know why Branch Rickey didn't pick him to integrate the National Baseball League, don't you? You know why, don't you?
No, I don't know why.
Well, the reason we picked Jackie Robinson is because he was a college graduate and very articulate. Yeah, Josh Gibson was probably a better player than Jackie Robinson, but he was really pretty inarticulate, and he didn't project well. Like, Jackie was a college graduate and spoken and a former Army officer and everything else.
Oh, okay.
And Ricky figured it'd be better to put, even though Jackie Robinson's not quite as good as Josh Gibson, it'd be better to put him up there as the image to kind of inoculate the American public to accept the idea of a black baseball player.
Man, he was a hell of a ball player.
But they were thinking about either Josh Gibson or Satchel Paige, but then they said, oh, Satchel Paige is too old. That's why he picked Jackie.
Yeah, and Satchel Paige went and played for Cleveland, and nobody knew his age, but he was... He looked like he was almost 50. I'm telling you, he was.
He's still a great player.
Oh, hell, man. He was playing the Yankees. He struck out Yogi, Mickey, and that's back when Tom Trush played. And what was his name?
Hell, he was playing some team.
And he called in, outfield in, said, come on in.
Yeah, talk about flamboyant, man. That was a flamboyant baseball player right there.
What? He was.
Satchmo.
And he would never tell anybody his age. And they said he was pitching and just beating the hell out of players when he was in his 40s.
No, them guys had style, man. Them guys had style, especially players in the Negro Leagues. A lot of them really had style, man.
They were showmen. They weren't just baseball players either. They were showmen. And they backed it up on the field. That's what's so good. And the fielding, my God. I wish the hell times were different and they played in the National League and an American League, I'm telling you, because those are ball players, man. They don't make those guys anymore. They just don't.
Yeah.
They really don't.
No, they came up in hard times, and they had to hard scrabble their way to the top of their respective leagues, and they were the best. They were the elite.
Right.
So, yeah.
Man,
I think the history of the Negro League is one of the more fascinating stories in sports.
You know, the Hall of Fame, Negro Hall of Fame, Baseball Hall of Fame, you can go to it online, and it's every bit as amazing as Cooperstown.
As great as Jackie Robinson was, he was not the greatest player that he could have sent up there. Look at the kind of record Jackie had. They had guys that were better than him.
They put Jackie in the minors. They could have picked any player on that team, on that same team, and they wouldn't have went to the minors. They would have went right to the major because they were ready. And I think Jackie was, you know, I think he was handled pretty good because, you know, he was in Canada and in his minor league deal. I think it was Montreal. And, you know, Canadians weren't as prejudiced as us Americans down here.
They didn't have formalized segregation like we had down here.
I like Pee-wee Reese when he made it to the majors.
Like Chewbacca said, segregation today, segregation tomorrow. What did he always say, Sarge?
Oh, yeah. Pee-wee Reese and Jackie. Pee-wee Reese and Jackie formed a great friendship, man. Pee-wee Reese helped Jackie get through his early days in the league when he wasn't exactly accepted by everybody on his team. Even guys like Duke Snyder didn't particularly want him around, but they eventually warmed up to him because, hey, he proved he earned his place to be there.
He earned it. He earned every bit
of it. Sure did.
And
he damn sure did.
Something happened when Jackie stole second base, and the shortstop or the second baseman, I don't know who was covering, took exception to it. And then the shortstop, it was like a gang up, and Pee-wee Reese is the only player on Brooklyn to get out there and defend and help Jackie. And, of course, the other, you know, they made a big deal out of that, and that was good because that really showed up to you, the Brooklyn Dodgers. Hey, we got Pee-wee helping out. We're gonna have to give this guy a chance. And then he steals third, and then he steals home.
Oh,
I mean, come on.
Oh, man, I will never forget Yogi Berra arguing with the umpire. That was one of the funniest things I've ever seen, man.
I got him.
No, you didn't. The Yogi Berra just throwing a fit at home plate, man. That was the funniest thing.
And if you get a chance, people, it's on the internet, on YouTube, you got to go watch it. It is an amazing play.
It's amazing, man.
He turned around to that umpire. You can imagine what he was saying.
And man, Yogi Berra was one funny guy, man. He was probably one of the funniest guys ever be in Major League Baseball. He had the greatest sense of humor, and he could come up with these malapropisms, I guess.
Yeah.
That was better than Rodney Dangerfield. I mean, it was really funny.
I think he came up Missouri. I think. Joe Garzariola, I can't think pronounce his name. Remember, he was a catcher, and Yogi and him grew up together. And I think, I can't remember what team. he played for, Joe did. Anyway, he ended up on NBC on the Today Show, early morning, that new show.
Oh, yeah, Joe Garagiola.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's him. Yeah, I remember him. He's another one.
Yeah, him and Yogi grew up together. And
yeah.
I seen Yogi hit up. I seen the Yankees. Every time the Yankees come to town, we take at least one game in. And my uncle worked at Cadillac in Detroit, and they always had changeover during the summer. And I had to miss a few ball games myself, but I stayed with my uncle for a couple of weeks, my aunt and uncle, and we'd go to every Tiger game. Oh, man, I'm telling you, even during the riots, he never drove, so we had to take a bus. We'd take a bus down to Tiger Stadium and bus back. Never had any problems and had a great time. Al Kaline, my favorite player.
Big Al Kaline. Yes, sir.
Number 6, right fielder from Baltimore. He turned. Yep. He was the youngest batting champion ever. I don't know if that record still stands, but he looked like he should have been in school. That's how young he was. He was, and he never won another one. He was never a home run hitter. He had 399, and that was the end of an era for me when he retired.
Are you familiar with the Cubs catcher, Mo Berg?
Mo Berg, no.
Yeah. Cubs catcher. He was a Jewish guy, but he was brilliant. He spoke like 4 or 5 languages. He had a PhD in some subject or other. He wasn't a bad player. He wasn't a great player. He had a lifetime average of like 260, kind of mediocre. But he was a spy. They sent him to Japan before the war, because the Japanese were crazy about baseball even before the war. And he went before the war and was spying for the United States government. And during the war, he was a spy. You ought to read his story, man. It is wild.
I'm going to have to check that out. Mo Berg.
Yeah, he was brilliant, man. Really, really a smart guy. Probably genius level. And he was a catcher.
He ain't too smart then, is he? I was a catcher.
That ain't the truth, man, because if you read his story, you'll see he was brilliant. He had degrees and everything. He just liked baseball.
Damn. Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, he played for the Cubs. And he was, like I said, he was a catcher.
Yeah,
and when before the war, and the Japanese were crazy about baseball even before World War II, they arranged for him to go over there on a tour. When the Cubs went over there on a tour, and while he was there, he was spying all over Japan. And during the war, they recruited him in the OSS.
Damn.
Really interesting guy. I mean, really fascinating story on him.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He was multilingual. He spoke a bunch of languages.
I tell you what, I don't remember how many teams there were, and there was one league. There was no divisions or nothing like that. You had to be on top of the whole heap, and you wanted to pin it, you wanted to pin it. You didn't have to go play another series against another team. It was just the owners getting greedy and moving the World Series into November. And that just hurt baseball. But back when I was growing up in the 60s, they didn't have that many teams. And you got the best of the best. The best of the best. And, man, I'm telling you, in basketball, football, we've seen some damn best players that ever played the game. You know that? We're lucky.
Well, let me give you a few little facts about Berg, which might want you to look up about him. Berg graduated from Princeton University and Columbia Law School. He spoke about 4 or 5 languages, and he read about 10 newspapers a day. He was on a radio quiz show called Information Please, and he answered all kind of questions correctly. He knew etymology of words and names from Greek and Latin. Talked about history in Europe and the Far East. And when he was a spy working for the OSS during World War II, he went to Yugoslavia. He got intelligence on resistance groups.
where the U.S. was supporting. He went on a mission to Italy where he was interviewing people about the German nuclear weapons program. And then he worked for the CIA a little bit for some time after the war.
Damn.
Like I said, man, he was a major leaguer for, I don't know how many years. I think he was for about 8 or 9 years. And he played for the Chicago White Sox, the Indians, the Boston Red Sox, the Senators. And this guy, you know.
What years did he play?
He played from, he played from the 30s through about, I think, 1939,
1940. Wow. Hmm. No, that name doesn't even ring a bell. I think somebody has died. Yeah, I love my sports. I love baseball. I played class
A. I used to really love baseball. I mean, baseball, man, I played baseball from sunup to sunset. I'd be out all day long. When the baseball was, I'd be out all, unless I didn't have some chore to do, I'd try to escape the home right away before they put me on some kind of chore and get out to the baseball diamond.
Damn.
I play baseball from sunup to sundown, man. Love baseball.
Okay, here's some stats for you. Somebody just sent me Ted Williams and Ty Cobb side by side. The WAR, Ted Williams at 121.8, Ty Cobb 151.5 games. Now check this. Ted Williams only gets to play in 2,292. And Ty Cobb played 3,034 hits. Ted Williams had 2,654. Of course, Cobb had 4,189 home runs. Check this out. Now, you got to remember, he missed 5 years.
Yeah, 5 years.
521, folks. I got to see him, by the way, in 1960 at Target when he played, came to town his last season. Of course, at 5 years old, I didn't realize who Ted Williams was, but I did get to see him. 521,
yeah.
And Ty Cobb hit 117. RBIs, Ted Williams had 1,839, and Ty Cobb had 1,944. Now, check that out. Now, played in almost 900 more games. And Ted Williams almost got him in RBIs. That's what I look for, RBIs and runs scored. Stolen bases, Ted Williams had 24. Ty Cobb had 897. Batting
897?
Average, yeah, 897 stolen bases.
How is that even possible, for Christ's sake?
Well, that's
I knew
he
had a lot of them. I didn't know it was that many.
Oh, yeah. He had the record until the guy in Oakland, though. I see. Damn it. The guy, what the hell is his name? I'll think of it. He stole the second base.
Ricky Henderson.
Ricky Henderson. That's
Ricky
it.
Ricky Henderson,
I think Rob,
yeah, right.
I think Lou Brock had more than.
Wasn't Maury Wills up there, too, with stolen bases?
Yeah, Maury Wills was a base stealer, too.
Yeah.
Batting average, Ted Williams had 344. Ty Cobb had 366. On-base percentage, 482. God dang, 482. Can you imagine that? And Ty Cobb had 433. Slugging percentage, 634 for Williams, 512 for Cobb. On base, okay, OPS. I got to think what that is. OPS. They got all these new stat things, and I don't know what the hell they are sometimes. OPS. Well, since I don't know it, we'll skip it. Anyway, Ted Williams beat the hell out of him on that stat, too, whatever it is. And OPS plus, he beat the hell out of him. But look at the games, and it's unbelievable to me.
I cannot get over Ted Williams had that kind of record and missed five seasons in the prime of his career. That's just amazing. Just amazing.
He's 700. You're talking, he's got 700 and something home runs if he's playing those 5 years, especially in Boston, in that short right field.
Mm-hmm. He's a left-handed hitter, too.
Yeah.
Oh, man, he would have definitely cleaned up there. Yeah, he's one hell of a baseball player, man. That's the way it's about it.
They said he was a good, you know, I remember when he was a manager in Washington Senators. He was a good manager.
And they say one of the most difficult jobs in sports is to become a 300 hitter, because you think about it, it is. I mean, you get a hit one out of three times, you're like a Hall of Famer. You get a hit one out of four times, you're mediocre.
Yeah. Yeah. You're a 250 hitter.
Yeah, 250 hitter.
Yeah.
It's one of the most difficult jobs in sports. Hit a good pitcher's curveball or fastball. It's one of the hardest jobs in sports.
I could hit a curveball and a fastball. Was that before I quit, I played years in Class A. Before I quit, they were trying these split finger things I never even heard of back then. And I was a catcher. And our pitchers, young guys, were throwing crap I never seen before.
Man, I had trouble with knuckleball. That's what I had trouble with.
Oh, man. Nobody thank God a knuckleball, but I've caught, playing catch, goofing around with a knuckleball. They are tough to – I don't know how they do it.
Tough to hit, too, if you've got a guy who knows how to throw it.
Who is the guy – who is the announcer for Milwaukee Brewers that played with Milwaukee and Atlanta, but mostly Milwaukee, and he's been with them. He's a Hall of Fame announcer. He was always on Johnny Carson's show. I can't believe my memory is shot to hell. Anyway, you got to check him out. He has the funniest, when you get inducted and you go and you give your speech, you've got to go and listen to this dude's speech. He had everybody rolling. He had all these Hall of Famers on the ground crying, laughing so hard because he was just a mediocre player. He got fined and he played for St. Louis. And he was out. He took the tuba away from they were practicing, marching band, took the tuba and started catching fly balls with it out in right field.
Yeah.
It cost him $300-something.
Well, baseball gave us one of the greatest comedy routines of all time, Who's On First. I just watched that the other day. I was laughing my ass off.
Who's On First and what's on? Oh, yeah.
Abbott Costello. That was one of the funniest goddamn routines ever. I just watched that the other day, man. I was laughing my ass off still. And I've seen it, I don't know, a dozen times, and it makes me laugh every time. The way they could deliver those lines and the way they did it was just hilarious.
And just think, they hated each other.
Well, maybe that's what made it such a good team.
They must have.
Kind of like Lewis and Martin. They hated each other, too.
Yeah. Yeah, they ended up not liking each other, and it was good for Dean.
Yeah.
It wasn't so good for Jerry. Lewis was he invented the monitor when they're shooting a show, and they're looking, these monitors. And he invented all that. I didn't know that. So.
Oh, yeah, guys like that are very innovative. You'd be surprised to see all the things they innovate with when it comes to things that are commonplace to be done with today. A lot of those guys were innovative in a lot of the stuff, especially in the early years of television and film. So, yeah. And they had talents beyond just their performing skills. In a lot of cases.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I guess I should.
Yeah, but like I said, that Who's On First, man. In fact,
I think I'm going to go back on YouTube and pull it up again because they had different versions of it. But they were all pretty funny. The watching the timing and delivery of it was just so was what was so great to watch. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, Abbott and Costello.
They don't make shows like that anymore. Instead, now you got stupid shows out there like Two and a Half Men, you know, stuff like that. You know, weird ass gay shit.
I never watched that stuff. I don't, the Two and a Half, everybody talks about this Two and a Half Men stuff. I've never watched it.
I don't even know what that's about. Yeah, I've never even seen it.
No, I never heard of it. I never seen Star Wars, and everybody thinks I'm a freak because of that.
Well,
I watched
Star Wars. My favorite is watching the Good Boy in the same locomotive.
Woo-wee. Well, I think you probably owe it to yourself to watch maybe the first three Star Wars before they started fucking it over. Because it was kind of great mythology, you know what I mean? It had that going for it. It's mythology. Now, later on, these newer, later Star Wars, these woke Star Wars, they ain't worth time to take to watch them. Hell
no. No, they got a woman that can, you know, they can put a woman in charge.
Yeah, but the latest ones with Luke Skywalker, I mean, the early ones with Luke Skywalker and his conflicts with his father, that's like myth-making in a lot of, like, mythology. So it's worth going to see it, not for the science fiction, but for the mythology of it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know if I could sit through a Star Wars. But
I think you could if you got into it. I think you could tolerate the first three because it was actually
evil.
Traditional.
You know?
Look, you're a traditional guy, Donnie, and the Star Wars in its inception was traditional myth-making. It was like a Western or something like that. It had the same sort of
ethos. The dark side against the good side.
Yeah,
it was like
the
Republican versus the communism, you know?
No, seriously, I think you would like the earlier Star Wars. I really do.
All right, I'll tell you what, I'll watch
At least watch the first three, and if you don't like it after the first three, I wouldn't say keep watching, but I think you're not really watching it for the science fiction, even though there's a considerable element of it.
Yeah.
He would not like the first three. He'd like the middle three, where it gets, you know, the good versus the evil. That